It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. We've got a great show for you. John C. Dvorak, Jolie O'Dell, Dwight Silverman, Kevin Rose is here to explain the raccoon throwing incident and a whole lot more. You stay tuned. TWiT is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 415, recorded July 21st, 2013. Kevin Throes. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWiT. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIT7. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to Audible.com/TWIT2, and don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID Audible_com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers the week's tech news. We've got a wonderful and well-fed studio audience here, thanks to Jolie O'Dell. Who has once again brought cupcakes. These look very unusually beautiful.
They're muffins, sir. They're cinnamon coffee cake muffins.
What is the difference between... I think we talked about this last time.
The difference between a cupcake
and
a muffin. Well, that you can justify.
How easily he's distracted.
Muffins are technology.
Delicious technology.
Oh, hey, that's Mr. Dwight Silverman from the Houston Chronicle also joining us. The poor guy is from... everybody else is in studio and... poor Dwight is on Skype, so he doesn't get any cupcakes. I'm so sorry.
My wife has got chocolate chip pecan oatmeal cookies downstairs.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for you at all, my friend.
And allegedly, there'll be crawfish ravioli when I get down there.
Holy moly.
She's an awesome cook. She's an incredible cook.
Houston, the land
of
crawfish.
Y'all are invited. Y'all are invited.
All right. Let's all fly down to the Gulf. John C. Dvorak is here.
Hello.
With a vintage laptop.
Yeah, they've set me up with this crazy thing.
That is the Datamancer's steampunk laptop. It's wooden cased. It's actually an Asus Windows 7 laptop, but it's got a wood case, leather wrist guards,
hand
brass.
Crank. I have to keep cranking that thing every so often.
Every
or the battery
once in a while
goes dead.
Turn it on. Good to have you, John, from ChannelDvorak.com, and somebody we haven't seen in a long time, but who has gained some notoriety this week.
Yeah.
Mr. Kevin Rose.
Hello.
Of Google Ventures.
I don't know if I wanted to have this notoriety.
Our timing couldn't have been better. We booked you before.
Yeah, like 4 weeks ago or something like that.
So don't think that we're capitalizing on the incident.
And don't think that Leo put that raccoon there.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of a harassment policy.
That.
So almost a million views now on the YouTube video that you posted just, yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, it's going to pass up my Barney for sure.
I would show this video, but I'm afraid of getting, when we show YouTube videos, sometimes we get pulled down. So we thought we'd reenact it, right? Can we do
a
reenactment?
We have a raccoon in the house.
Don't
anyone, please.
There's a stairwell. Wait a minute. I'm just going to show you what Kevin did. I have to get up to do this.
This is amazing. I had no idea this was happening.
Is my dog at the bottom of the stairs? All right. Okay. So we're going to reenact.
So Leo has left the studio. To take on Leo. That would be amazing. He's going down.
I would love it if the raccoon came and did an interview with you, like all tense. And
there is a Twitter account for the raccoon now, apparently.
That's right. Okay. Of course there is.
Oh, it looks like... there we go.
Did you scream like a girl when you
did I didn't scream like that, no.
Okay.
It's a Leo original there.
It's okay. There's no raccoon.
He could just show
Ladies and gentlemen, that's show business. This would make great radio.
Oh. And now he's locked out of the studio.
He's locked out.
He locked himself
bit.
Out.
And tiny the bit. Show just got
okay, Kevin, you're going to be the host in? Today.
This had been planned for about 15
minutes. Did we introduce Jolie
minutes.
Yet? Oh, no, here he comes.
There
he
is. Exhausting.
All right. Why can't you show videos on the show?
No, I can't.
I was going to say.
Unfortunately, my dog was here. We should have borrowed yours.
What did you throw down the stairs?
That was a raccoon. Bring me the raccoon.
He keeps a dead raccoon in the place.
So, what happened? You let Toaster out?
Yeah, I mean, so we had gone out for dinner.
Well, Wait. Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Why did you name the dog Toaster?
Have you not seen Battlestar Toast. Galactica?
He named
are
it,
you kidding me?
He named it after the Instagram filter.
No. You're talking about the second hit.
Toasters are the evil, like...
Oh, you're talking
the
about the
Cylons for Cylon. Called Toasters.
Oh, see, the second iteration of the show, I hated it. I watched one episode and I wrote
does
an
does light go up and down his spine?
No, he does not have that.
I had no idea you named Toaster after Cylons.
Yeah, Daria came up with the name and...
That's hysterical.
We thought it was awesome. Yeah, he looks like burnt toast when you see
it's much more cuddly than a Cylon. He's like a little cute, little cuddly, curly dog.
Did he get bit?
Yeah.
So you let him?
He got hit pretty hard.
Wait a minute, pause that there.
Well, he's the one.
Pause that there. Go back here. Because so you let him out of the house to pee.
Yeah, it's like 1 a.m. We're getting ready to go to bed. You know, we got home from a late dinner.
Pause it.
And, you know, you let the dog out, and he always barks a couple times when he goes down because it's like he's kind of scared. Well, we've had raccoons in the house before.
No, Ozzy does that too. He's kind of clearing the way.
Clearing the way.
Yeah.
And so I hear a couple barks, and then I hear that kind of like, yeah, like, exactly. Pretty much. It was just chaos. It was like clearly something went wrong.
Scrabble.
And he's yelping at that point. Like he's like really getting hurt.
So show the video. So daddy to the rescue because you just.
Well, I ran down the stairs because I was like, what the hell's going on? And I see,
a raccoon
there.
But now wait, pause it again. Normal reaction at this point is to get a stick, a bag.
Or start kicking.
No, that's adrenaline. That's hurting his puppy
dog. Well, at this point, if you look back at the video, at the very end there, he had actually flipped over and he was on top of Toaster.
And Toaster was on his back.
And he was clawing at his eyes and like trying to like basically kill him.
Fight or flight here.
Yeah, so
and
I mean.
You decided to fight. I would have run.
Worst case, the thing's going to, like, bite you or claw at you.
Wow, that could be a bad case.
I mean, it's going to hurt, but you know that you're strong enough to, like, you know, deal with
the
animal.
Show the rest of it. I'm sure you've got complaints from PETA already because he picks up. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Pause it again.
Well, there's a better camera view.
You picked it up.
Yeah, so I grabbed it by its back and just picked it up and
flung
it off of Toaster.
You picked it up. Yes, I grabbed it by its back.
Are you watching the show?
No, I'm trying to get.
Are you not entertained?
I'm trying to get into the chat room, but I can't figure out how to turn the volume down on this crazy thing.
Laptop, it lags a little.
We're gonna wait while John watches what just happened.
Let's see here. There's a thing.
There. It's almost like being on Skype, isn't it, John?
Yeah. Now he just wants to be with you,
that's what
Joy.
I do usually. It usually doesn't have the sound turned up to the max.
That's true. There are other ways. We'll help you get in the chat room next time. Anyway, so was it heavy?
It was about 25 pounds or so, and it felt very...
You've been lifting. You're in good shape.
I'm in good shape. It felt very greasy and
it's
oily.
It's not that heavy.
And kind of like...
he's all got to, he's got
it's
a bunch
a
of
thick
garbage
fur.
All
yeah,
garbage
over
him.
And
it's garbage and snot.
Yeah, no, raccoons are clean. They wash their food before they eat it.
Yeah.
With pee.
Yeah, it was...
All right. So continue with the video.
Because
So this is a pause it. This is a security camera.
Yeah, we have cameras around the house, obviously, to like guard against weird things. And
so this is good. You record your own hard drive, so you had access.
No. It just goes to the cloud instantly.
Oh, and so it's like Dropcam or something.
Yeah, it's similar to that.
Okay, all right. So finish the video.
It's motion
because the other angle is good.
I have another camera that gets the other angle. So there, it flung it.
Yeah, but and what I love is that you then go after it.
Well, I mean,
and we don't know how this movie ends because
you cut it short.
Yeah, but let's
I'll
just watch. This is the best angle.
This is the other angle,
which has inspired an animated GIF. Holy cow!
What flew off the raccoon?
I think it was Toaster's fur that he
we
had.
We actually
in his claws.
Had a debate on the radio show about that. I thought it was its eyeball.
It was not.
Two eyeballs at the bottom.
It was Toaster's fur, I think, we've decided.
Sad.
And now, of course, they've made an animated GIF of you.
I'm throwing thousands of raccoons at this
GIF.
Point.
Like
you can see in the...
It's like a raccoon conveyor belt.
Yeah, it's basically what it is, one after another. So this is how I get my workout in.
Some
it's really good for the triceps. It's like...
Okay, so what no one knows is what happened after you went.
So I went down there. It flipped back over because it landed on its back, and then it just ran out the fence. There's a fence there, and it like got between the bars and took off.
It was still alive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, I went out to see if like I'd injured it, but it had just taken off.
Did it go?
it just took off really fast. So
did
it was
they
only
communicate?
There was three of them actually. So that's one thing you don't know is I saw two others down there. So
it
was total three of them.
Moves in.
Now, you have to wonder, why would a raccoon go after a dog? Usually they're after garbage or raccoon stuff.
So here's the thing that's interesting. I don't know if it was this raccoon, but there was another raccoon in the neighborhood that took out another dog's eye like a couple weeks before. So these things are getting pretty aggressive in our neighborhood.
Wow.
So it's crazy.
And so why did you post this?
Well,
video?
Here's the thing. I didn't even remember that we had the cameras. I was so on adrenaline and everything else.
I bet you didn't sleep that night.
Yeah, and Toaster's like growling the entire night, and it's like 2 a.m. and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, we're laying in bed and I pull it up on my phone because my phone has access to the camera data. And I was like, holy shit. And then
this is really good.
Dario was like, what are you talking about?
Really
and I
good.
Go, look at this. And I showed her the video, and it just has to go on the internet.
Now, Dario, did you try to talk him out of this? Did you say, don't, Kevin, you're crazy. Don't post this. You said put it on YouTube immediately.
Yeah, of course. It's awesome.
So you're not getting heat from like animal rights activists?
Yeah.
Well,
here's the deal. Here's the way that I would phrase it to anyone. I'm not out to hurt animals, obviously. There's one of two ways I could throw that raccoon up the stairs or down the stairs. If I throw it up the stairs, it's going like back into my house. So I had to get rid of it. I wasn't going
to
like shoo it away.
Right.
And so, you know, it was just it happened to spin and look back in the camera in an awkward way. And it's just like, I'm not like actively trying to like kill raccoons.
You would have done the same thing, Jolie.
I would have done that and worse. If anybody came after my little puppy poo, I don't care. I mean, I'd go into mama bear mode.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is weird how you flip into that mode. Like,
I think so.
I don't have kids, but I got into that mode where I was like, this is my like little baby dog. Like, don't.
Yeah.
I thought
no,
that was
you
killing
did
it.
Everything but pound your chest afterwards.
Right.
I think you should edit it now so the raccoon turns into some sort of violent monster at the bottom and comes up the
comes
stairs.
Back at
Turn
me.
It into a movie.
Has anybody approached you up for options?
For movie rights? Yes. Movie rights? No, they haven't.
I'm actually surprised. They're so desperate in Hollywood.
So, Kevin, did you say you have video of it in the cloud. Were you able to go back and see the initial encounter between your dog and the raccoon?
No, that was the first, because the second it detects motion, it takes like a second or two for it to start recording. So the first that you see is the first that I saw.
So what
we
don't know, and we'll never know.
Who started the fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know.
Doesn't make any difference. There shouldn't be raccoons on your steps.
Do you have doggy stand your ground laws in California?
Yeah, it's it's just scary. It's a scary thing more than anything else, actually.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting, and it's telling that your first reaction, I think this is
Post
true
it.
Of this generation, is, I better tweet that.
Post it.
It's the first reaction. And Daria said, post it.
Post it.
I didn't think anyone was going to believe me. When I told Daria, I went back up the stairs, and I was like, I just tossed a raccoon in the air. She's like, what? I'm like, you don't understand.
You're full of crap.
Yeah, it sounds like something. And then when I had the video footage, it's like, you got to show your friends that stuff. This is crazy.
So now almost 900,000 friends have watched it. You're definitely going to cross 5 million before the end of the week. I mean, this is huge. You
got the ad deal going on with the YouTube so you can pick up some money? Come on, put some ads on there.
He doesn't need money. He's a venture capitalist.
Yeah. He works.
I love there were quite a few jokes along those lines. Like, I just showed you my elevator pitch, raccoon. Stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
I know. It's funny. I love it. Anyway, congratulations on killing that damn raccoon.
It survived.
It went off to lick its wounds. We don't know. I think you're probably right. Raccoons are a resilient
It seemed
breed.
Like it bounced, kind of. Like, you couldn't... It was more of a bounce. Well, you know how, like, they're furry and they're like
furry.
Little balls
sure.
of... Yeah, I think it just bounced.
Little furry balls of fun.
Yeah. And claws.
And claws. Well, there you go. That's the big tech story of the week.
All right.
You
we're
know
done.
That he has a Twitter account.
He does. He was tweeting at me and I
Freddy
was,
the raccoon.
No, somebody there's multiple Twitter accounts for Freddy.
Oh, that's our raccoon. So now but there's another one. There's another raccoon that's raccoon tossed raccoon.
Yeah, there's tossed raccoon.
You mean there's more than one?
Yeah, there's a few of them that sprung up.
Boy.
Twitter, I'll tell you.
Some people, there were a few people that were pissed, though. They were like, why'd you throw it? You should have, like, you know.
Even on Reddit. And by the way, the way this took off was on Reddit. It became huge. It was a whole.
It made the top of Reddit.
Raccoons are the worst.
I think anybody who lives in an urban area knows that raccoons are a problem. But on the other hand, we did move into their territory.
Yeah. They look so cute, too, when you, like, see them, actually.
Well, people feed them at parks.
By the way, you're the number one
search result for
raccoon on Twitter.
And for misspelled raccoon, too. There you go.
Yeah.
That's internet fame.
Yeah. If Zuck had chucked a raccoon, it would have been an international scandal, says Drew Olenoff. Jason Calacanis says, there's no such thing as an association against raccoon cruelty.
Yeah, that's because he said they were suing me. He tweeted that out.
Oh, he was joking, obviously. Yeah. Wow. You are certainly the star of this, huh? Wow.
Well, if that's the one thing you think when you think Kevin Rose.
Right. Raccoon tosser.
John Gruber says, how sure are we that the thing at Kevin Rose's house is a raccoon? Look more like a blogger from Ballywag to me. Ho. Wow. So what is it, tossed raccoon? Is that the...
That account has been suspended.
Oh,
that's a shame.
You didn't complain.
They couldn't get the check mark, I guess.
You took it down?
No, I'm just kidding. Why would I take it down?
Why would you care?
Yeah, I don't care.
Why would you care? Well, that's a shame. And so you posted the video on YouTube and you tweeted it, and then you went to bed, and the next morning it blew up.
Yeah.
Has CNN called?
CNN has not. No, it was
sure
on SF Chronicle, Boston,
Atlantic,
CNET.
It would have to be by Wednesday. Otherwise, then it's going to be a dead story.
TechCrunch. I don't know why TechCrunch said, "How is this about you? How this kid?
Yeah,
Ryan Lawler. How this kid?
Business Week. That they're talking about this Business Week cover that said how this kid made $40
million. Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. It's a play on the Business Week. Yeah. I get it now.
Oh boy, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Here's a video.
Well, this is when a gorilla tossed a raccoon is what that video is. There was another video. I was competing with that one for top tossed raccoon.
No, you should win that.
Yeah. So this is
the gorilla. Yeah. I don't actually want to show that one. It's kind of horrendous. All VCs claim they have your back, but only Kevin Rose will wrestle a raccoon for
you. It's true.
How is the VC biz?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So are you getting to talk to founders and coach them? Is that a lot of what you do, given your experience?
A lot of it's kind of sitting down and drinking a lot of coffee, meeting a lot of founders, talking about ideas, and then occasionally investing in one of them.
But that's not a big part of what you do, or is it?
As far as like actually mentoring and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, are you looking the companies for people to give in. Money to?
Yeah, absolutely.
You are, okay.
Yeah, so I probably do, 10 to 15 deals a year,
Well, that's actually a lot. That's almost one a month. Well,
almost one a month, something like that. But that's a lot of saying no, actually. You're doing several meetings a day. And
what do you look for?
In an entrepreneur?
Yeah, what are you looking for you to put money in? I mean, obviously, you're not going to put money in a lot of things that aren't in your wheelhouse.
Sure.
You're looking for stuff that you understand.
Consumer internet, mobile, things like that.
Yeah.
But it has to be something that's just not another Me Too product. I like really original entrepreneurs. I remember the first time I met... the Vine founder was the one that I was most recent that I
were you on in on Vine before they got sold.
So Jack Dorsey got a hold of him just as I was about to invest. So I didn't. It's fine.
It's gotta kill you.
But it's one of those things where you see like someone approach something from a new angle, from a kind of original thinking is what you're looking for in an entrepreneur, not just another Pinterest for this or that or so.
Right. There are probably a lot of. Pinterest.
There's a lot of clones.
Facebooks.
I mean,
Twitters.
Anything, anytime there is something, especially like there's an event, like let's say Mailbox gets acquired by Dropbox for $100 million.
Right.
Then six months later, I'll see 50, 75
new.
I can fix mail.
Inbox Zero.
Yeah, exactly. And so anytime there's success, you just see a lot of copycats. And sometimes they do really well. Like I think the best example of that I can recall is Yammer. Yammer took Twitter's concept, made it for the enterprise, and did quite well.
Right. That was an unusual case, though.
Do you have a trap door in front of your desk?
Just to press a button and have them fall?
A ejector seat would be better.
That would be amazing.
Into the alligators.
Opens the roof, fires them at the
top. Well, that'd be good, too. It's the suction thing that comes down.
Oh, that's good. John and I would be better at rejecting than...
Yeah. Well, because it'd be funnier.
You try and pre-qualify him a little bit. Yeah. Try and vet him a little bit before you even go and have a coffee.
So do you have your Moto X with you?
I do not have a Moto X with me.
Oh, okay.
I do not.
I tried.
There you go.
I tried.
I still have an iPhone. I'm still. They let us use whatever we want.
Right. Not an Android guy yet, huh?
I've played with Android quite a bit. I'm Android curious. I could say some things. I like, things I don't like.
What don't you like?
The fit and finish. I still don't think it has the.
But
the
who's? They're all different.
Apple does.
Or are you talking about the inside?
Yeah,
the
I'm talking about the operating.
You're talking
system.
About the butter. You don't think butter did the trick?
I don't think butter did the trick. I think butter improved a lot of like little things, but I still think they have a ways to go.
Now, have you tried Windows Phone 8? Because I find for
lots of butter there
for polish and just the pure joy of using it. All the little pops and pearls.
You've got a phone.
I sure do.
An 8X.
Yeah, it's Microsoft gave me that to test it out, and I'm gonna go to the store like next week and buy one. I love it. I love it. Have you tried it?
I hear that
Lumia 1020. Would you want to take a look at that?
Why don't you play with my
telephone?
He's played
with this, I'm sure.
I have
not. That's a great
phone.
You haven't?
No, I've never used
the
best.
I like the 8X, although I would be very tempted by the new Lumia, which has a 41 megapixel camera in it.
I'm not going to read your email. I'm just going to.
That'll come in handy.
I have no secrets.
Oh, have you seen the images?
Pinhole. Yeah, I saw the images.
Oh, the images are dramatic.
Yeah, but it's still limited to the. There's no Zoom or, I mean.
Right. Well, what Nokia's idea is,
doesn't
I think,
have a
is computational.
Dynamic range is not
computational
what it
photography. So all we need to do is get something like an image, and we're going to use computational.
Well, you're
going
to end up going to for Photoshop.
It's all software.
Yeah.
Yeah. So big story, I think, of the week is Microsoft Thursday on its quarterly earnings call announcing that they're going to take a $900 hit on Windows RT. The Surface RT is going to cost them almost $1 billion.
Like 6 million of them in the warehouse.
You said $900, $900 million.
$900 million hit.
Yeah, almost
$1 billion hit. Yeah.
How many billions did they have for revenue in that quarter?
Well, they can afford it. About 50, but they can afford it.
$50 billion.
Why didn't they?
Gosh,
that's like
valet change, you know.
It's not that they can't afford it, but it's kind of. First of all, maybe you can help us with this, Kevin, or any of you. Why would a company just say, you know what? Why wouldn't they dribble it out over a few quarters? Why say, we lost $1 billion, it's over?
Probably for the bookkeeping reasons.
Yeah, there's something there. They need to write
it
down this quarter.
They have to write it down. Or they want to write it down.
And clearly they're going to continue to lose money on this because they see it as the future of PCs.
So they're not going to back down.
No, they're not going to back down.
I think they'll abandon RT.
And the sequel is probably coming, I suspect.
Maybe.
You think?
Yeah, I think they're going to do another one and try to do it better.
So the story was, I think, that because they're taking the write-off because they had to drop the price to $350 mm-hmm. on the base 32 gig model. That's $150 less than list and probably significantly less than cost. So they're going to take the loss on it. But you don't think that's an abandonment of Windows RT, that they're going to stick with RT? Or see, I think RT's over. I think they're going to say, "Oh, we should have just stuck with Windows 8." RT is bad for users because they get it and then they go, "What? You can't run Windows software with this?"
They're doing Windows 8.1 RT, so they're continuing with it. You know, they're not stopping with it. When they were here in Houston a week ago for the Partners Conference, they were giving away, or not giving away, but they were giving steep discounts on both the Pro and the RT. And there were lines of the attendees that were 90 minutes long to get either of them.
It reminds me of the BlackBerry Playbook. Remember when they dropped the price to $99 in the Playbook? It sold out. And people said, "Oh, BlackBerry, you should make more of these."
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so we can lose lots of money.
No. So, yeah, of course people will line up for a $99 tablet.
When it's cheap, right. Right. And that's probably, you know, for Surface RT as a fire sale, that's probably about right for what it's capable
that's
of.
That's what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
One of our chatters works at Microsoft. He says, "No, Leo, RT's not dead. We are all in on RT." Mm-hmm. I think it's confusing. You've got three operating systems now. You've got Windows Phone 8, you've got Windows RT, and you've got Windows 8. And on the surface, if you pardon the expression, they all look the same. If you put them all together, they all have the same Metro Start screen.
And
I think that's confusing for users because they think that means it's the same OS, and it's not.
Well, it has the same like core, doesn't it? The same.
It's the NT kernel in all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can run one software from one on the other.
I think the average user doesn't care so very much about it, about the software that you can run. They don't think of software on a phone. They think of apps on a phone. And you can run Microsoft Office on a phone, and you can run OneNote on a phone. And I think I think the average user is like, ooh, pretty, you know? I mean, eventually, they'll be woo pretty. Right now, they're just terrified.
Yeah, I don't know if any. I don't see anybody saying, oh, I love... Well, I do see that. I take it back. But it's usually a small number of people say, oh, Windows 8, I love it. Most people...
Yeah, it's because they're working for Microsoft or they write a Microsoft newsletter.
You love Windows 8?
I love...
Not Windows Phone 8.
Windows 8.
You're using a Mac.
That's my husband's, I love stealing his stuff and not giving it back.
Yeah, you like because it's a better product.
I thought
product.
Those shoes looked a little big on you, actually.
You know, he's got large feet. We're finding them next year.
So I'm using Windows 8 on several machines, and at first it was really annoying. Windows 8.1 makes a big difference in the preview, but to use it is to love it, I think. The
what?
More you use it, the more you like it.
I like it, and but as long as I'm running Classic
kind of
Shell.
You
want the start menu.
Yeah.
And the desktop.
Well, yes. I think you still need the desktop. And one of the reasons I think they're sticking with Windows RT is because it primarily works on the Metro side. And as Microsoft goes on with this design, you can bet that the desktop is going to be deprecated and you'll see less and less of it. Windows RT on ARM, they probably think of it as their future.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I don't know if that's the smart thing.
If you have an app on your Windows phone, will that app also work on your Windows tablet?
No.
That's just...
Are you sure?
That's really...
But developers, they're telling developers it's not that hard to tweak it.
But developers I don't know if they're doing that. And I think Metro apps are not what people are looking for when they are traditional Windows users. They're looking for windowed apps, not full-screen tablet apps.
Well, and Microsoft is also... Pardon me. You go ahead.
No.
Okay.
I'm just here.
Microsoft, and they've emphasized this in meetings with me, they are betting really, really big on HTML5 and the mobile web because the web is the one platform that's consistent across desktop, tablet, and phone.
That's actually a good point.
It's an excellent point. Aren't using
applications.
So wait, let me stop you for a second. So basically you've been sat down by Microsoft and brainwashed.
Absolutely, and I loved every minute
just
of it.
Make
Have
sure
you
we
seen
get
these
that clear.
Windows phones? Okay.
Well, it's ironic because Steve Jobs, when the iPhone came out in 2007, said, hey, web app. Apps, that's the future. And obvious, either he knew better and was just, they didn't have the App Store ready, or he turned around because a year later the App Store comes out and is a huge hit. And HTML5 apps did not take off. Is HTML5, you're a good guy to ask, Kevin. You do mobile development. Is HTML5 good enough now?
No, I mean, the problem is it's HTML5 apps are still really funky and weird and don't have the performance that a native app will have. They don't have access.
That's pure FUD, Kevin.
No, it's true. They don't have access to all the low-level hardware that a native app will have.
But they're getting it thanks to standards.
Yeah, but when? Like, when are you going to have access to the accelerometer and, like, all these other things that really cool apps are doing?
Next year, who knows? Whenever people like you stop smearing FUD all over the whole issue.
Well, I know. Yeah, but Aaron is not developing...
You bad person.
Wait a minute, though.
No.
Your husband is not developing web apps.
No, he's been brainwashed, too.
Oh, okay.
I keep harping on him. You think this is bad,
Kevin? Yeah, but
Kevin?
He's got money in where his mouth is. He's making apps, and he's making them for iOS, and he's making apps. He's not doing it as this is Everlapse's
newest
app. But
there's so many things that are missing. Like, if you want to make any money at all when you're building these apps, sure, if you want to do a fun little, like, weather app in HTML5, have fun.
Forecastio.
But, like, if you want to make real money and tie into a real app store that has paying users, you have to build native. You just have to.
Well, you could run ads on an HTML5 app and make
money, make, like, $10.
Is WebGL not going to help? I mean, WebGL gives you, OpenGL-style acceleration on it.
No, I'm sure eventually it will get there. I'm just saying, like, today, when you sit down with the developer and you talk to them about what they're building, they say, I'm building an iPhone app first.
Right.
If that works, I'll go Android. And Windows isn't even on, like, they don't even have I don't even know a single Windows developer anymore. Like,
I think they're hard to find. You know, Path just announced and Instagram just announced that they're going to do Windows Phone apps. But I think
Microsoft pays them.
Given them
absolutely.
Cash.
Yeah. Absolutely. I've heard.
Here's $100 million. Would you please do an app?
They'll actually hire a dev house like up in Washington, and they'll pay developers to bring and port these really popular applications over. They have to. I wouldn't blame them. They have to.
It's an economic decision. Whether or not you like HTML5 or even think there's a future, you have a limited amount of resources. I think Aaron's made that same decision. He's saying, I'm going to put Everlapse on the iPhone. That's the place where I'm going to start.
Well, he's a filthy hipster. I can't answer for his decisions.
Will this marriage last, ladies and gentlemen?
Only not with that shaved face. He's not much of a hipster.
He's kind of cute.
I know. Isn't he, though? Look at those dimples.
Yeah.
Hey, babe.
Yeah. We should get Aaron up here to defend himself. Anyway, everlapse.com. This is actually a cool idea. It's a flip book, so we'll give him a plug, but it is iOS. Aaron, are you going to do an Android device, Android app, if this succeeds? It's exactly what Kevin said, he says.
Thank you.
Well, Kevin talks to a few developers once in a while. I have a feeling he has kind of an idea of what they're thinking.
So the question to ask him, is he going to do a Windows Phone app?
Ever Windows Phone,
please,
ever?
Please.
If they pay you, yeah.
If they pay him.
Windows Phone is a gorgeous... No, he's actually saying it's a beautiful platform. But you have to think of the economics. How many phones are in out there and how much money
do
I make?
All three of the people will love it.
Right.
It's just like, I'm not knocking the fact that there's these Windows developers because I know they're out there. It's just, it actually is a challenge.
Well, doesn't PhoneGap and don't other like cross-platform tools support stuff like Windows 8 now? Because sure. They know it's lovely and they know developers want to and don't have the resources.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about these different applications that you can port your application easily over to Windows 8. I don't know how well they work, but you know, it all comes down to when you have a team of three or four people working on a startup, like do they even have like 10% time to go and spend porting right. their app over. They're fixing bugs. They're doing all the other things that they're wearing the 10 hats that they have to wear as an right. entrepreneur.
Well, they've got time to make a Google Glass app. Aaron's
I wouldn't advocate making like a default Google Glass app right away.
It's that's nuts. There's no market at all.
Not yet. You know,
the people have Glass are developers and hipsters. And they're not buying stuff.
Aaron, she's ruining your machine.
Sorry,
what happened?
It's okay. It's just a cover.
No, sugar and laptops go together fine. It's not a problem. No problem at all. This might be a good time to take a break. Sweet and low is fine.
Okay.
It's not sticky.
No, it's
not. It's just a chemical stew.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
I like it that you brought it. Did you bring a China teacup?
This is my teacup. Well, I always have to use the sad coffee mugs. And this is... I'm a lady.
Jolie, the only guest who comes fully accessorized, and I love that about you. Jolie O'Dell is here. What are you doing these days, Jolie?
Well, I work for VentureBeat.com.
You haven't changed jobs yet?
No, I never will. The last job I have will be at VentureBeat.
All right.
Until they get bought by, like, News Corp or something, and then...
Then that's all up for grabs.
Yeah, until then I'm going down with the ship. I just love it. I've never had such a wonderful time. And if I may say, one thing I'm working on an awful lot is DevBeat. This is VentureBeat's first developer conference coming up in November.
Ah.
And they're letting me do all the programming, so it's going to be a three-ring circus of code.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
So where's the conference going to be?
You know, the Regency Center is this old Masonic lodge in San Francisco. It's super goth, super dark. And that's how I like it, as you can see.
Actually,
tell,
if I'm not mistaken, that's where the old Avalon Ballroom used to be. I think it was the
Avalon Ballroom. It's the Avalon Ballroom.
And there's
a miniature...
John and I got high there in 1973.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't remember.
We were at the Zappa concert.
Actually,
it was awesome.
Zappa did do a conference.
I know. There. I was there. You were there.
I
just don't remember
looking
it.
At all the pictures, and out of the blue, he says, tits. It's very strange. Anyway, there is a miniature version of the Avalon Ballroom, one floor below.
No, yeah,
for the smaller
venue.
Actually,
it's above. There's a smaller stage above, which they call the lodge, and then there's the main stage with a big balcony around it. I've got stuff planned for every floor of this thing. Developers are going to have so much fun.
Where can they find out more? This sounds like a great event.
VentureBeat.com/events/DevBeat2013.
All right.
Yeah, buy your tickets now while they're cheap.
We will have more with Kevin Rose, with Jolie O'Dell, with John C. Dvorak, Mr. Dwight Silverman, as Twit continues in a moment. But first, a word from Stamps.com. If you are doing mailing, you do not want to be going to the post office. When Jolie starts to ship her berry cherry jam to Etsy buyers all over the world, when the raccoons start to make Kevin Rose t-shirts, Kill Kevin Rose t-shirts, they're going to want to use stamps.com. Does this give you willies when I do that? Are you nervous? Does it make you nervous? Yeah. Stamps.com means you can print your own legal U.S. postage from your computer, your printer. You never have to go to the post office. And you don't need a postage meter, by the way. You'll save like 100%. No, I'm sorry. It's 100 times less expensive. That's like 100. That's like 1,000%.
It's a deal.
That's a 10,000%.
Wow.
It doesn't even, if I say that, it sounds like that you're making that up.
It sounds like bull crap.
But it's true. You know why? Postage meters just not effective anymore. Not economic. The ink is so expensive. With Stamps.com, you get the USB scale. You plug that in the computer. You plop the letter or package on there. You always have exactly the right postage. It even suggests what class of mail is appropriate for that particular package. I want you to try Stamps.com. We've got a no-risk trial offer. Visit the website. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. See that kind of fancy, old-fashioned mic? Enter the offer code TWIT. And that $80 bonus value turns into a $110 offer. That's $55 in free postage. You get the scale. You just pay shipping and handling. It's about $5. You get a $5 supply kit to make up for that. And, of course, a month free of Stamps.com. Stamps.com. If you do mailing, you need Stamps.com. Please use our offer code TWIT. I don't know where we found this or why we have it. But I believe it's a raccoon puppet. And frankly, I missed a bet. I should have interviewed you.
So, Kevin, how do you really feel about raccoons?
I'll tell you what. After the show, we'll give this to you. Toaster can
right.
to tear it up and
freak out.
He's
got
with the post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He doesn't need to see that.
Yeah, it'll just. Well, no, but it's a way for him to kind of process it out.
Yeah.
What?
Take another video with that and the dog. That's you make another. Put some advertising on there.
You can have Toaster throw this down the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this is actually going to happen. This just crossed Twitter. The Daily Mail tomorrow morning in London will have this as the headline, and I think it's true. The Daily Mail has had a campaign to get the British government to insist that porn be blocked in every home in the UK. I've been hearing about this. According to the Mail, PM David Cameron will announce on Monday that there will be a default block on net porn in every home in Britain. You'll have to go and ask to have it turned off if you want porn.
Well, I'm proud to be an American.
Welcome to the new world order.
Can you believe that?
I can't believe that. Is that true?
Yeah, how do they figure out what's porn? Like, is it just certain sites? Is it, what are they,
Well, remember in Australia, they proposed this and it was overturned. But the idea is, You buy a commercial program that's designed to filter this stuff out, probably blacklists. There are filters that actually look for flesh. I hope they don't use those because those work very well.
Flesh?
Yeah. Certain amount of flesh, you say, that must be a porn site. You know, 50% flesh, that's a porn site.
But
what if you're just wearing a peach-colored unitard?
Well, yes. Exactly. And that's why it doesn't work
just
too well.
Just around the house.
Is there a site where we can see that? Because I'm gonna block it right now. Apple's dev site has been down since Thursday, and this is kind of interesting too. They say when you go to developer.apple.com and click, this is the site for paid developers. They say we'll be back soon. We apologize that maintenance is taking longer than expected. Since Thursday, during an iOS beta.
It looks like it's back.
People are starting to think that it's been hacked. A number of developers have tweeted, I keep getting password reset emails from Apple. But that doesn't mean an attack. That means somebody's trying to get their password. I don't know if it's related. But it is a long time. 4 days. 5 days.
Someone
Leo, it is back. It's back up and running.
It is back up and running?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
there goes that story.
No, because it wasn't. I checked right
before
the show.
It was down for several days.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Regional deal.
You have to go to developer.apple.com and click iOS Dev Center, and it's down.
Yeah, there it is.
So
the main page is up.
Yeah. In fact, there's quite a bit of stuff that's up still, but the iOS Dev Center specifically is down.
Perhaps Apple's broke.
Maybe they ran out of money, couldn't pay the bill for the ISP.
It happened to Detroit.
Is that a shocker, huh?
Well, it wasn't much of a shocker.
You saw that coming.
The Mac Dev Center is down also.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, generally, while you might need to do maintenance, you really wouldn't want to do a 4-day maintenance during an extended beta test of iOS. Especially with a ship date, probably that's about a month off.
Maybe they can't find the reset button on the servers.
Apple reportedly considering. Now, this maybe, Kevin, you have some insight on this because the Israeli developer PrimeSense denies it. But it has been reported that Apple's considering buying them. PrimeSense is the 3D body sensor firm that designed and sold and licensed Microsoft Kinect body sensor technology. It's an Israeli publication, calculist.co.il, says that PrimeSense is for sale. PrimeSense says that's BS, but Calculist
why
is usually
Microsoft
pretty accurate.
Why would Microsoft just buy them? They're just licensing the tech?
There's no way Microsoft would let that happen,
yeah,
right?
It seems...
You would think that that's something Microsoft wouldn't want to have happen.
John, where's your bullcrapometer on this one?
I'm actually reading from the chat room, and somebody has some comments about the Apple story.
Oh, yeah. What do they say?
Last Thursday, an intruder attempted to secure personal information of our registered developers from our developer website. Sensitive personal information was encrypted and cannot be accessed. However, we've not been able to rule out the possibility that some developers' names, mailing, blah, 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 has been accessed.
Was this a mailing from Apple that they sent out?
I don't know. It says, anyway, they said August 9th, somebody else says, is when it comes back up.
August 9th?
That could be bull crap.
Yeah, that doesn't like sound right.
But...
Why would you pick a date to like bring your servers?
We're going
to
take 2 weeks
as soon
off
as possible.
So this is a website update from Apple.
Yeah, the August doesn't make any
on
sense.
On 9 to 5 Mac.
Yeah, there you go.
What the heck?
And there's somebody else in there asked, John, what's Jolie eating? Jolie, what are you eating today?
I'm eating cinnamon crumb cake muffins.
With?
Creme fraiche.
Ah.
Oh, my
Would
God.
Would anybody else like creme fraiche?
Sounds
I'm a hog with
delicious.
And she also brought homemade that's jam. I've got the berry cherry.
That's blackberry cherry.
Mr. Rose took the Bing
Microsoft
cherry.
Bing cherry.
Microsoft Bing. Is that why you took it?
No.
That is why he took it. So you can have it back at Google headquarters.
Wow.
Yeah. I got Bing in a bottle.
And right. John, what did you take there?
I took strawberries.
Smart man. Always go for the strawberries.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong with strawberries. All right. Well, we'll watch with interest on that Apple story. That's kind of far-fetched. August 9th.
Doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. The other story is makes more sense.
But in order to prevent a security threat like this is Apple. In order to prevent a security threat like this from happening again, we're completely overhauling our developer systems, updating our server software, and rebuilding the entire database. We've been working around the clock.
It sounds a cover-up story to me.
Apple says we plan to have the site up again soon, not August 9th. But this makes sense. This statement makes sense. That's kind of what you'd expect to hear.
I think rebuilding the whole database is more than a weekend's worth of work, though, right? Good thing.
Depends how automated it is. I guess really the big question is what was the exploit, and they must obviously they must think that there might be more holes in this, and they really got to look at this more closely.
Yeah.
That's something you don't want to have happen. What you really don't, Marco Arment pointed this out, what you really hope is that the dev certificates didn't leak out, the master root certificate, because if it did, then you could create dev certificates. A bad guy could create certificates that would say, this is legitimate Apple software.
Mm.
Apple has moved to that certificate authentication system both on iOS and on the desktop. You cannot install an iOS app without a certificate from Apple, and on the desktop, it'll warn you. And you have to manually override that. If those dev certificates got out,
right,
the root
it's a disaster, yeah,
big disaster.
Leo, they mailed me today and said August 5th.
Wow,
this is room 2, by the way, where I reside on the chat.
Yeah, see, I don't see this in our chat room.
This
you're in the back channel.
We're in the back channel. We're getting the good stuff.
The shady room 2.
Room 2.
Apple also busy this week with a update to Logic, answering the question some people had, well, how do you do upgrades in the App Store? You don't. Apple's never made that possible for developers. You have to just create a new version, and a number of applications have done that. And now Apple's done that, too. They've released Logic Pro X, a new version of Apple's Logic music-making software, and there's no upgrade path. If you bought Logic before that, doesn't matter. Admittedly, it's a very affordable $199 for a very complete music package. But still, I think Apple would want to have an upgrade path for people who develop for the Mac App Store. Really impressed. 32 gigs worth of loops, a whole bunch of stuff for $199. I immediately downloaded it and made a hit single.
You did?
Right
Play
away.
Play it. Play it.
Is
that ready yet?
We're still working out negotiating the deal.
That doesn't mean you can't play it.
Play it now. That
just
would
a
be
little taste.
Leaking it out.
No,
just a little taste.
Jay-Z and I, he's a little sensitive on these kinds of things. He's been bit before.
Leo's nervous about the analog hole.
Well, you bet. Just the words analog hole make me nervous.
And well, it should.
As well it should. I am not going to bring up Prism unless somebody else does.
Okay. So we don't need to talk about it.
But see, you just said something that I think the entire American public are saying. I'm so tired of Prism.
But we can't afford to be, can we? I mean, these companies are just now coming out and saying, yes, we've been, I mean, they're basically saying, yes, we've been subject to this thing, and we would really love it if the federal government stepped in and made it so that we didn't have to do this.
That's exactly what...
Oh, good one.
What Microsoft just said, because Microsoft most recently bit by this...
And I just love that they all told me the day it broke, I talked to all four of the big tech companies in Silicon Valley that I keep in touch with, and they were like, no, we have no knowledge of this. We didn't do this. And now they're saying, oh, gosh. I could just get all spun up,
apparently,
but I won't.
Apparently, she's going to get all worked up.
Well, Apple, Google, Facebook, Microsoft.
Because I knew at the time they were lying. When every single person says, I have no knowledge, having no knowledge is like
but they can't
the kind
admit
of military
knowledge.
Intelligence phrase that you use
but
when
what
you
they
know
should
exactly
say is
what
no
you're
comment.
Talking about.
Not, I don't know. They shouldn't lie. They should just
well,
say, I have
one
no
of
comment.
The
well, no comment
PR
means
people.
You have knowledge.
No,
you know what I mean?
No,
so
really.
I have no comment. It's like, okay.
No, I think you should say no comment to everything, whether you have knowledge or not.
One of the people I talked to led me down the road of, and if we did have knowledge, we probably couldn't talk about it because there might have been a gag order. And I was like,
right.
So you're saying...
Your national security letter is even
and
worse.
Right.
Yeah.
They can't admit anything.
And that's the best answer, that one right there.
If we had knowledge,
we couldn't tell you. Right?
Well, actually, if you have a national security letter, you can't
you
even say that.
A better one.
What can you say if you have an NSL?
Nothing.
So if Jolie O'Dell calls you John C. Dvorak and you've got an NSL saying you must reveal every user of Channel Dvorak.
How about this?
The line goes down.
Jolie, just call me. Say something.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Good.
Cool. What you wearing, girl?
Yeah. Well,
how is this phone call supposed to go? I don't know.
You're supposed to ask me.
Is that what you said to the Google guy when you called?
I always do. I'm not familiar.
What you wearing, girl?
I don't know about that.
So if I'm like, so, John, Prism.
Yeah, what about it?
I sense that you guys are involved.
Yeah.
See, that's...
He's totally involved.
But here's the thing. I
he didn't
think
say yes, he didn't say no. He said,
I think these companies wanted the media and wanted people to know that they were being gagged.
Well, as Microsoft said, this reflects very badly on us.
Yes.
So I think, though, that they wanted people to know so that they could wiggle out of having to do that in the future, because I'm sure as bad as it looks, I'm sure a lot of them felt bad about having to do it, you know, and not having
and
any control and not having any control in the process.
Look at the European Union's reaction to this. I mean, the very next thing they say is, well, in that case, we can't use any Microsoft software.
The EU is always weird about privacy, though.
Well, that's a big but it's a market. And if you're China. If you're the Chinese market, are you gonna, I mean, we said let's not use Huawei phones because Huawei's owned by the Chinese military. They're going to say, well, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, and Apple are owned by the U.S. military.
They don't use Facebook in China anyways. It's like a different, like a different country
but
and everything.
But Google and Apple are desperately trying to sell phones into the market. That is a huge
Android
market.
Android already owns China, but the Chinese government thinks that people are too obsessed with Android and that Android is too controlling. They've said in a statement from the intelligence agencies over there.
All right.
So that's all. Sorry.
So let's not talk about Prism.
Talking too much.
But I think that Kevin's reaction is, I've heard enough. I don't want to hear any more. But
it's just always at the top of Tech Meme every time I turn it on.
I know.
I'm fine for big breaking stories around Prism. I of course want to hear that. It's just like every single day it's another thing.
Well, if we were in the middle of a world war, you'd want to know. Like, the new world war is an intelligence war. It's a war
no,
that
I understand
has to do
with that.
Technology.
I understand that. The issue that I have, so I'll say one thing that that is interesting about this whole case.
You're leading us with, I'm going to tell you one thing that's interesting?
Well, one thing that nobody knows.
Oh, okay.
Is this about the raccoon?
This is about the raccoon.
Nobody knows
sorry,
this.
Sorry.
No, let me tell her.
Okay.
Nobody knows this. I want to hear something nobody knows. Don't you?
So, I don't know how to anonymize this in the right way. This has nothing to do with Google in the first place. This is a friend of a friend that I talked to that has used Prism before. And they said it is like a very helpful tool. And one of the things that was really interesting is that they said that when they use Prism, they have to fill out tons and tons of paperwork to use it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And when they use it, the court might not reject it. But what they will say is they'll ask for more information. They'll say, okay, we're not going to reject this. You know, that what's the name of that court? The
FISA court.
Right. So they won't outright reject it, but they'll say, you have to give us more detail on these 10 different points. Right. So there's a ton of hurdles built in to use it in the first place. I think the person you really have to use it worry about is the system administrator that has access to PRISM, that is sitting there, that can just type in anything they want. Like, what are the controls like at that level? Right. Not when, you know, an agency is coming in to use it through the proper channels. More about, like, the people that are actually writing the code that have the low-level access to that software.
Because those guys are basically hackers.
Now, is that PRISM right, or is that just normal spy guide stuff that every company does and, like, they disclose in transparency reports? Or is that actual PRISM?
What do you mean? Like, yeah, I'm talking about actual PRISM where you type in a number and you can see who. The example that was given to me is you find a terrorist phone that is, you know, that you capture somehow, and you want to see who in the United States they've been talking to. Right. That was the prime example.
Perfect example.
Which that makes sense to me. I think you would want to know that.
So you have this phone and you have these numbers and you say, well, let's see what other traffic has been around these numbers. Who do they talk to? Who else do these people talk to? One of the things that was revealed in the congressional testimony this week was, it could be friends of friends. It could be friends of friends of friends. It could be three degrees of separation, which means that that net could be cast quite wide.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of gray area here, and that's why it really sucks, because it's just like, you know, I can see the positive sides of it, and I can also see where if it's abused, this is horrible.
And that's the issue, is it could be abused.
Absolutely.
What are the checks and balances? Right. Who's watching? And what was apparent is that, at least until now, no one was really paying attention to this.
Well, and it was refreshing for me to hear that they actually do push back. They may not say no, but they do push back for more detail.
I hope that's true.
In the court level.
But that can change at the drop of a hat.
The feeling is often that the FISA courts are rubber stamp courts.
Right, exactly. And that's what that was the message I was getting. It's not that they say no, but they do push back all the time.
Right.
It was a former member of the FISA court who was complaining. In fact, I believe he quit the FISA court because there wasn't enough pushback and that the government was being taken at its face value too often. At least the good thing about this is that it has everyday people talking about some of the issues that we've been talking about for years. And that's a good benefit to it.
And if I'm not mistaken, that judge that quit the FISA court believed that there should be more adversarial aspects.
There should be somebody in
zero. There's nobody on the other side saying, "Hey, wait a minute,
exactly.
This is bull crap."
There should be.
It becomes a star chamber. At that
they need
point.
A right. you.
They do.
Yes.
I need money.
McClatchy reporting that Congress is growing increasingly wary of NSA domestic surveillance programs and may, in fact, take legislative action as early as next week. I think they're feeling the pressure, and I think it's important that we continue to.
Well, the guy who wrote the Patriot Act, Sensenbrenner,
he
went
said
on and we went crazy with these guys saying, "What are you doing with my phone numbers?"
Yeah, that's when they get pissed off, isn't it?
Exactly.
Are you spying on us?
Yeah. He says that we didn't put 215 and we didn't put that word in there so you could do it more.
Sensenbrenner said the problem is the Patriot Act's going to sunset in 2015. You're not going to be able to renew it if you don't have some precautions put in here.
Right.
You're not going to get a renewal in 2015. And he wants to have it renewed. He and I think this is true. It is a useful tool, but you've got to put in the checks and balances.
Yeah, all those terrorist attacks that we've had. Oh, it's every day.
No, but see, you say that, but then the defense is you didn't have them.
That's a logical.
You didn't have them because we stopped them.
Well, then
them.
How come they didn't stop Boston? How come they didn't stop the
well,
shoe
Boston
bomber?
Boston was
how
unusual.
They didn't stop the shoe bomber. The public did. They didn't stop the crotch bomber. The public did. They didn't stop Boston. They didn't stop anything that I can tell except a couple of setups. In fact, there was a hearing in Congress that was done to the staffs of all the senators, where a bunch of guys come out of a think tank and they discuss this. And they went over those so-called 50 incidents, 10 in the USA. And the guy says they're bogus.
Right.
Almost all of them had to do with moving money into terrorist organizations, all these great busts that the NSA did. It had nothing to do with terrorism per se. We're not seeing terror. This is not Israel.
We're going to take a break. When we come back,
I ended on that.
I know, it's good. You get the final word. When we come back, we're going to talk about, here comes DEFCON. This is always an exciting time of the year when the hackers get together, put their slide decks together, all the new exploits. We've got a big one we'll talk about in just a little bit. You haven't been to DEFCON lately?
I haven't been
in
a few years.
Yeah.
No.
They're now saying don't go if you're a Fed.
Yeah,
that'll work.
So can you go?
I can't go.
No, I don't know.
Or is it Black Hat? It's Black Hat this is.
No, it was no, DEF CON. DEF CON? Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
Black Hat, which is kind of the official one, and DEF CON, which is the fun one yeah. right after.
Right.
They're both in Vegas.
It's too hot in Vegas right now.
Coming up in August. You grew up there. You ought to know.
I was there a few weeks ago. It was 117 or something like that.
Crazy.
The new record.
Huh. Our show is brought to you by Shutterstock.com, a great place to go if you need beautiful stock photos, illustrations, vectors, video clips. Shutterstock has 20, well, actually, I can give you the actual count, 27,780,765 royalty-free stock images.
I'll put my raccoon video on there.
You should.
Royalty-free. Boom.
You could, nice. You could make some money on that.
You know, VentureBeat.com uses Shutterstock.
You know what? A huge editorial. Number of blogs do because it, yeah. One of the reasons is you can, and I have this, the 25 image a day subscription. It's mm-hmm. very affordable. You know, that's enough for a whole
that's
site like VentureBeat.
And they have editorial content. It's not just cheesy thumbs up businessman stock photos.
Although, like,
I love those.
Let me just search for thumbs up. Because one,
one
of the fun things about Shutterstock is their search engine is so good. You can not only say thumbs up, you could say angry thumbs up. There you go. There's a thumbs up image. Thumbs up. Two thumbs.
Oh,
how about
God.
Two thumbs up? Should we do that?
The cheesier, the better. Let's go
more
for
cheesy.
It.
So the search engine is fat. There you go. Hey.
Hey. That's pretty much me right there.
Hey, I killed a raccoon. Hey, wait, let's see. Let's see. R-A-C-C-O-O-N. Let's just see. By the way,
this is a torture to me.
Sign up for a free account. You don't need a credit card or anything. You'll be able to search the images. They're free images every week, free vectors, free photos. You can use the Lightbox, which means you can save, you know, images if you want some inspiration. I find it a great way to get inspired for a blog post. You know, so I start looking at images and stuff. So that's Raccoon. But you see, you can also say angry, say you Raccoon.
Oh,
you can
boy.
Qualify this. Wait a minute. You're not looking at my raccoons. There you go. That's an angry raccoon, right? So Chad decided to go off on his own search. It's that fun. They've got a great iPad app. I want you to take a look at Shutterstock. They've got the Spectrum tool, which lets you say, I only want blue angry raccoons, that kind of thing. Great way to get creative inspiration for your team, to share images with your team. Free subscription, no credit card needed. But if you decide to buy, whether it's the individual image packs or the monthly subscription, we're going to give you 30% off when you use the offer code TWIT7.
If you want to use this for your blog, like what is it? What is
well, it just depends. They have different packages. You see, you're getting the idea.
Yeah, I mean,
it's great for blog. For $199 a month, this is what VentureBeat uses. And again, you can take 30% off this. You get 25 a day, 750 high res demo downloads. But you can also buy images for like 5 images for $50, that kind of thing. So you know, they have different plans. Pay as you go. I think the subscriptions are fabulous. Really like the subscriptions a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah. You, are you blogging?
I'm not blogging, no.
You're thinking about blogging?
I'm blog curious again.
I think you should blog. Just what would you write about? You'd write about like the kind of thing
I've
you
got
do for,
Twitter,
for
I've got, like,
founders.
I got Twitter. I've got my video stuff, so I don't really need
yeah,
to
yeah,
blog.
Yeah. I want to ask you about that in a second. Anyway, Shutterstock.com. TWIT7 takes 30% off right now. Any of the plans, any of the prices. They've got great videos, too.
It's cool to do video stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, beautiful, too. High-def stuff. Here's the top clip. I know you like kittens. It's a kitty in a paper bag. Who
Let's
wouldn't
just
love
spend
that?
The rest of the show
watching kittens.
Did you see the
look at his little tail. Oh
can you
God.
Do? You can do that. Aw. Yeah. No, you don't do it that well.
I don't.
I wonder if you're really a girl.
The hell.
Aw.
She looks like one.
Aw.
Thank
look,
you, John.
Look at that kitty cat. Aw.
Kiki.
Have you seen the kitten and the lizard? It was on
Does
Google Plus.
That's great. That's
Isn't
great.
That that's kind of I'm not a that's cat great. Fan, but this was the cat animated GIFs. I'm not a fan, but this one, oh my God, you can't not love it. Let me see if I can find it.
Is so Leo, have you seen Meowbify?
No, what's Meowbify?
Go to cron.com/withcats.
Okay, hold on. Let me show you first.
Wow.
That cat does not like that lizard.
Oh, yeah, that's a great.
The lizard's not moving much.
It's amazing.
The cat has just decided.
It's like those sheep that get paralyzed when they get scared and they fall over. Have you
yeah,
seen those?
Yeah, the sleeping sheep.
It's like
sheep.
A rodeo
yeah.
steers. What yeah. it's like. That's
actually,
great.
It turns out if you search for cat and lizard, you find quite a few. Now, what was it?
Cron.com/withcats.
You're telling me the Houston Chronicle has an entire page?
No. That's
actually
what
the worst thing
does.
I've ever
Meowlify
seen the show
takes
do.
A website and replaces
better.
All the images with cats.
That's great.
So,
you know, there's a theory that
so
there was
I set
that
up
virus you get from cats.
Yes, apparently toxoplasmosis. Yeah, it makes cat ladies.
Yes, and I think it makes people like cats. Supposedly,
so here's the theory: toxoplasmosis is a parasite.
Right.
It lives in cats, but part of the cycle is it has to get in humans.
Right.
And so it comes out in the cat poop. Humans touch cat poop. They get it inside themselves. It breeds.
And then they fall in love with cats.
Humans are handling cat poop, and don't they have it coming?
Here's the key in this parasite's life cycle. It has to get the cat then to ingest the human. Otherwise, the life cycle is cut off.
There
so
you go.
The theory behind this.
Wait. I missed something there.
Okay, toxoplasmosis.
What?
Oh, the cat ladies who die and get eaten by all their cats.
Yeah, the toxoplasmosis
this show
parasite.
Is going dark.
No, no. Yeah, Let me explain. The toxoplasmosis parasite.
Thesis.
Am I wrong?
No, you're dead on.
It's all parasites have a life cycle, and often humans are part of that life cycle. They lay brain eggs in your brain and
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Next
it's pretty
thing you
horrible.
Know you're on the show.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Next thing you know, you're on Twit. So the toxoplasmosis life cycle is cat-human. Well, actually, it's cat-animal. But the key is that in order to continue the life cycle, the cat has to be able to reconsume the eggs or whatever it
but
is.
The humans outlive the cat.
So the thesis is that toxoplasmosis somehow modifies the neurology of the host to make it love cats, to make it hang out with cats, so that the cats can eat it. Now, this would work with big cats, not so much with kitties.
Well, maybe the licking and the who knows what they're up to.
So
I don't trust cats.
This is the thesis. The cat ladies,
you know, that licking,
the cat ladies have late stage.
Cats.
The cat ladies have late stage toxoplasmosis that is making
wow.
their brain modified, so they have to have cats around them.
Right, lots of cats.
Crazy.
And the idea being, eventually, the cats get to eat them.
Yes,
pretty crazy.
And many cats do.
That's some Grey Gardens stuff, right?
It's
there.
Very Grey Gardens.
This is not
there.
Really
actually
tech news.
They had a raccoon in Grey Gardens.
This
remember
week
coming
in
the
Parasites.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
if only Kevin had been there, maybe there'd never been that movie.
Well, that would have been a shame for the queer community.
It's a great movie.
Okay.
Are you a Grey Gardens fan?
I don't know if fan is the right word.
It's
I like to watch in
movie.
Shock and horror.
It's the strangest movie.
Oh, it's so bizarre.
Documentary. That cousins of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
I know nothing
squalor,
about
they
this.
They were hoarders, and they were just strange.
In a mansion
people.
In
What's
Long
the name
Island.
Of this thing?
Grey Gardens.
And it's a movie.
Quite
it's
popular as... Quite
oh,
popular, as Jolie
series,
said. With
though, right?
It's
no,
a
no.
camp Grey
Gardens. It's a classic documentary.
Well, it's more sad than camp. How would you... Sad camp?
Well, that's the... It isn't camp.
Aaron, is it worth watching?
No, he couldn't handle it.
I love it. The Males has made it. You know, the Albert and David Males, who later made Odd Man Out, was Six Man Out, the... Anyway, the
it's
documentary.
1975
yeah, right.
documentary.
1975 documentary.
We're off the tracks. We're off the... Derail the show.
Way off.
Great.
Little Edie and Big Edie. Yeah.
This week in movies.
And Little Edie was the most awkward one because she would wear those scarf
Yeah, she
costumes.
Wore pantyhose as headgear.
Hijabs, it was very
so,
strange.
So back to tech news.
Okay.
Is there any stories this week or are we all
you
on vacation?
You know, everybody did earnings this week and I found it so thrilling.
We did the Microsoft earnings.
Everybody did earnings. Let's see.
Any other big stories in earnings?
Earnings is not really interesting to an audience.
You know what's interesting?
It is when you lose $1 billion. That's interesting.
Yahoo everyone said it was disappointing earnings, but their stocks somehow still went up 7% for the week. I think that this is a huge statement about Marissa Mayer's success.
A lot of
in
trust
leading
in
that
Marissa.
Company.
I agree.
It's funny how investors, they don't even care about the numbers.
My
they just
prediction,
love that girl.
Short-lived. She is implementing the worst kind of stack ranking of any company that I know of.
So this is a hot button. John and I have talked about this on other Twits before. This is a way companies, General Electric used to do it, determine employee. It's instead of performance reviews, they do stack ranking.
Yeah. And
there is peer review.
She is doing it to an extent.
What is she doing?
She's doing it quarterly. She is doing.
That's what we do. That's what we do at Google.
You guys are doing stack ranking?
Well, we do peer reviews.
It's peer reviews, no, but this is different. What stack ranking
stack
is.
Stack ranking is not
the bottom guy gets fired.
Oh, yeah, we don't do stack ranking.
It's a little different. You can do peer reviews on
it's
a weekly
like
basis.
It's like Survivor.
But you have to fire some guy every quarter. You're firing your team. So you have a team of 8, 9 people.
Are they actually firing the
yes,
bottom guy?
Yes, I got
well,
all
the
that would
stack
make
ranking.
For great television. I would watch the crap out of that. Maybe that's her new
revenue
stream.
That's a new revenue
thing.
Stream. That's
yeah.
a brilliant idea, actually.
You are
let's
off the Yahoo Island.
I like this as a TV show.
Yahoo Island sounds great.
Hollywood, get a hold of me. We can do this. We can have a good time with the Yahoo.
Could be a new Netflix
or
show.
It'll be some other company, of course.
So we were mentioning DEF CON Black Hat coming up at the end of the end of August. I bet. Why do you not go? You used to be the dark tipper. Whatever happened
What's
to that?
A dark tipper?
That was Kevin was the dark tipper on Screensavers.
It was my tech TV.
Paul Block persona. Decided to make you the dark tipper. Look
I did,
at him.
I did
Paul.
A lot of the hacking stuff.
Doesn't
back
he
in the
look
day.
Like a dark tipper?
You know, it's fun. I just feel that, like, you know, it's a commitment to go to Vegas and
it is.
117 degrees. And
yeah.
Who needs it?
I'll read about it online. I feel like most of the conferences now, I just read about it online or watch it streaming online.
You don't need to go. That's why.
The same thing.
I wonder.
Don't go to anything.
CES, I wonder why these shows even
They're
exist
overcovered.
Anymore.
There's four reporters for every booth CES.
Yeah, I decided to stop covering CES when Spike was there for the week. Spike TV. I thought, you know.
That is bad.
If Spike TV is covering CES, I think it's done for Twit. We went and we set a small team, but we had spent $200,000 a year before. Mm. That's a lot of money for a small company
wow,
like this to cover
a lot.
CES. Yeah.
It was cool though. You had a big booth.
We had the booth, and I, you know what? It was a tech TV thing. It was like I wanted to redo what tech TV had done with mm-hmm. Comdex.
Do
Remember
it
that?
Better.
That
you wanted to do it better.
I did.
Yeah, you did actually.
SIM cards have been hacked. The flaw could affect not every phone, but about 1 in 8, which would be a lot of phones, millions of phones. We don't know what the hack is because German cryptographer Carsten Noll will reveal it at Black Hat, which is July 31st. He says it's the first hack of its kind in decades. He and his team tested close to 1,000 SIM cards for vulnerabilities exploited by, get this, sending a hidden SMS. The two-part flaw, which is based on an old security standard and badly configured code, could allow hackers to infect your SIM with a virus via text message and then do things like drain your mobile phone bill by sending premium text messages or surreptitiously redirect and record calls, carry out payment system fraud. It's a fairly serious bug. We don't know what the details are because you don't find out till he reveals it. The real issue is not so much a problem here, I think, in the U.S., but in areas where, like Africa, where SIM cards are the way people pay stuff. They do, you know, phone payments, SIM card-based mm-hmm. payments are how
What's that
commerce
in Africa?
Happens.
It's huge.
It's huge.
What's it called?
I can't remember the name
I can't
of it.
Either.
How sad that you would want to hack people in developing areas.
Somebody
just
in the
like,
chat room know the name
right,
of this.
Go where the money is, right? I don't think people who do this have much of a conscience, to be honest.
They're like opposite of Robin Hood.
They're mostly in the Ukraine.
M-Pesa, that's it. M-Pesa.
Yeah.
Huge. The odd thing about the description in that story is that it seems to not affect all SIM cards.
Right.
And that he says you can't predict which SIM cards actually have the flaw, that it's almost random, which I found odd. I'm not sure why that would be the case.
That doesn't make sense.
It sounds like the carriers perhaps have not all done a uniformly good job of fixing this flaw. Would be my guess.
Or that they may have old SIM cards in stock and they just continue to use them.
Ah, right.
That's possible.
Unknown. The market for SIMs, there are two companies, Gemalto and Oberthur Technologies, that make most SIM cards. There are 5 billion SIM cards in use right now, and they estimate about 1 in 8 would be vulnerable. We don't know. You watch these with interest. And, of course, as I said, this is the season. For the next month, we're going to hear about all kinds of hacks.
They say if it could be a software patch, or is it something where you have to replace the card, or what's the deal?
They're not saying, but I would guess they say because of the intersection of software and a flaw in the SIM, it sounds like you could fix it in software. You know, there was a lot of attention given to the flaw in Android that allowed most, like 99% of Android phones, to be hacked. But Google patched that almost immediately. The Play Store is scanning for the flaw, and many Android phones, like my Samsung Galaxy S4, already have the fix built into it. You know, it was a patch that was downloaded a couple of months or a month
Is that
or
your
so
new
ago.
Phone?
It's just the cover makes it look like an
iPhone.
May
I see?
Yes. Let me just unlock it for you.
It's still enormous.
Love it when she says that. How big is that?
It's so big.
Okay.
What?
Why, your phone, it's enormous.
I'm surprised she doesn't slap people. I would.
I'm saving it. I'm saving it for the right moment.
She's going to toss me down the stairs after the show.
Well, she should.
I'm looking forward to that.
Are you just waiting for everybody to get over this raccoon thing?
It's going to take a few months, I'm sure. Okay.
You posted it, dude.
That's true.
Any second post now?
Oh, it's a great publicity stunt.
No. This is put...
Own it.
You know what's interesting is it proves your celebrity status because most of these articles didn't say... Kevin Rose, comma, founder of Dig, or Kevin Rose Venture. It just said Kevin Rose. Everybody knows Kevin Rose.
And it's going to KR next.
KR. Just call yourself KR.
K-Rose.
There it is.
K-Rose.
Like K-Rose throws raccoon.
What did you used to call yourself, Dr. Robert?
Dr. Robert.
You never called yourself that?
I don't think so.
Isn't that your middle name?
My first name's Robert.
Your first name?
Yeah.
R.K. Rose. What are you looking at?
I just didn't do anything, and it put Robert into the search engine.
Yeah, because it's Robert. Listening.
But you're a mile away from the
Listening. That's what's, that's, you know, so that's funny strange. With Google Glass. If you tap it or you have it set to tilt head, anybody who says, okay, Glass, take a picture, it will take a picture.
And do you have one?
Glass?
Mm-hmm.
No, I gave it to Jay. I got one, but I gave it to Jason Howell because he has a baby, and I have no interest in wearing that stupid stuff around. Do you have Glass?
I had one for about a month. And then I was a very early prototype, and I gave it back.
You kind of lose interest. It's like, that's cool, but what am I going to do with it?
For me, I mean, it's going to take some time
for the apps to develop. I think for developers, it's interesting because they can
right now.
Aaron has one, and I won't talk to him when he's wearing it.
Oh, really?
I'm just so
good
paranoid.
For you.
Do you take it in the shower with you?
I'm all...
No, he takes it in the shower.
The Scoble thing was the worst thing ever.
When Scoble's over, the two of them are in the shower.
That's bad PR. That's like some Scoble in the shower
action. One person I did not want to see wet and half nude.
Right.
That would be Scoble.
I love Scoble. God bless him. He's a great guy. I don't want to see him in the shower with Google Glass on. Like, it's just not.
It's like when Snooki carries a Gucci bag. It's like, okay, never need to buy that.
Who's Snooki?
Oh, he's a classy gentleman over here, doesn't he?
I like that. Yes, he's great.
I seriously have no idea who Snooki is.
A trashy human being.
We heard that
everybody knows who a handbag maker would send a competitor's handbag for her to carry around. Yeah,
that's smart.
So that would be the Glass.
Snooki. If you,
analogy.
I think everyone should not. When somebody's wearing those glasses and they start talking to you, you should say, "Take those glasses off," and I'll respond. Otherwise, I'm not saying anything.
Oh, who cares? Take all the pictures you want.
I don't
John
want.
John and
it's
I care.
Weird looking.
Take a picture. It'll last
Jolie
longer.
And I are going to start a website.
I mean,
about
I
this.
Value my privacy, and I don't want to be talking to Four Eyes over there when he's got those things on, and I don't know what he's recording. I don't know what pictures he's taking.
Can this marriage last?
More than that, I don't know if he's listening.
His own mic. He's
I can't like, nag him if he's
slammed
just playing
left and right over there.
He seems to be smiling all the time. I think it's probably a pretty good relationship.
So here, what's going to happen with Google Glass is it's going to, once the novelty wears off, people will use it when they use it, and they'll take it off.
Right.
They'll use it to take their baby pictures while they're holding the baby, and then they'll take it off.
Right.
And people aren't going to be walking around with it all the time except for real weirdos.
Well, I think like doctors and nurses, especially in remote areas, will probably be using it more than people with babies.
Right.
People with babies get crazy, though.
It'll be a niche item.
Yeah, it'll be like a GoPro kind of, like where you use it at certain times when you're biking or, you know, you're doing something crazy.
Yeah, you don't have to wear some on your head all the time, like Justin used to do.
All of that is true, and yet I do think wearable computing is the next big thing.
Yeah, I think not.
I don't know if it's glass. I don't know if it's watch. I don't know if it's a little thing embedded in my shirt. But don't you think the computer, having it always on, always listening, always watching is a
wonderful
idea. Let's be
There's strong rumors the next Google phone, the Moto X, which Kevin does not have, is...
I don't
does
get that.
Not have
I don't
it.
Get it either.
It's not my
Why does Kevin
right
even
now?
Come
not
on the
pocket.
Show if he can't bring a Moto X with him?
The rumor is it's always on, that it's always listening. And if you say whatever the key phrase is, okay, Google or okay, Motorola X... It will say yes.
Now, if you
so
look
like
at
you
Prism,
just did there, with because you swiped up.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, it's just listening in.
Right, but if what if you didn't have to swipe up? What if it's in your pocket? You say, hey, Glass.
That's a nightmare.
It is
If
a
you
nightmare.
Look at Prism and the data that we're collecting, and then you say, oh, I just want to have something that's always on, that knows everything that it... This is a terrible idea. When you combine these two things, it's a hellscape.
She's old school. Most kids don't care.
What if it's not sending it to the NSA? It's just listening all the time. And then when you say the key word, then it starts.
It's still
creepy. About that. I mean, think about like how much of a pain in the ass dialing was. Remember back in the day, you'd sit on like the keys and it would call someone? Like now all you have to do is talk and all of a sudden your phone starts doing crazy stuff.
Right. So you don't like that idea either.
Well,
can you imagine? Imagine you say, okay, glass, while you're having an intimate moment with your significant other, because that happens, right?
Okay, glass, call my ex-wife. Whoops.
Uh-oh. She's your ex now. So, okay.
So Android Police has a story on the Moto X, and it's indicating that it does indeed have this always listening feature, but it's off by default. You have to turn it on in order to activate it. So it's not going to come out of the box.
I'd be surprised if it weren't that way. I mean, you have to do that. But I want it because...
This phone sucks, by the way.
Why? He's looking at my Galaxy S4. Why?
It's some abortion version of Android, and so the things launch funny. It's just everything about it is uncomfortable.
What, you use an Nexus 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check out the camera app.
Look at this thing?
The camera app. Yeah.
All right, I'll push that.
That's the worst example of Motorola crud, because it's got 18 different features. And
you mean Samsung crud?
Yeah, what did I say? Yeah, Samsung crud.
I'm getting some still lives here.
You take a photo.
Quick, that's freeze frame that.
That's the photo.
That's the picture. Kevin likes raccoons after all.
Very slow.
I want a t-shirt with that. All right, chat room. Caption contest. You got the picture. Now let's see what you can do before the end of the show. I know you all got that. Before the end. Yeah, I agree with... I think carrier customizations suck. It's one of the reasons I think Moto X will be interesting, because it's the first Motorola phone since Google acquired them. Now, I think Motorola has announcements on the 24th, but I think it's the last of the droids.
It's clearing out the pipeline. Anything on this thing.
August 1st is the Moto X.
August 1st is Moto X.
August 24th is just a breakfast with the Android.
With Sundar Pichai, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Are you going to that?
Of course. I wouldn't miss it.
What do you think will happen? What are you?
Tickle fights all around. I don't know. I haven't the foggiest.
Fight with Sundar Pichai sounds like something to enjoy. He's kind of grim.
What?
But he's very serious. He's Mr.
You
Serious.
You want your business executives to be...
Sundar's now was the guy with the Chrome guy. He's now Android and Chrome. So the question is it Android? Is it Chrome? Is it both? What is it?
Oh, you can't. Okay. It is going to be Android. It is not going to be
Chrome. Android. And Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you can't have Android and Chrome together. Like, that just doesn't work.
Right.
It's a different.
Well,
different
I use Chrome
things.
On Android.
Well, you can use Chrome on Android, but Android is an operating system.
It's not Chrome OS.
Chrome is a browser.
Right.
Chrome OS isn't an OS, it's a damn browser. Pardon my language.
It's an OS. It's just a very limited
it's
OS.
It's not an OS. Linux
I agree
is
with
the
her.
OS.
If it doesn't access a disk drive and do all kinds
no
of fancy stuff.
To me. If you can't install software or applications, it's not an operating system.
Well, you can
system.
Install extensions.
It's not the same.
Well, I know it's not the same, but it is installing applications.
Can you install Photoshop?
I'm with her.
No, but
it's
you can install Aviary and Photo Light.
You don't really like Chrome. Did you get
no, I don't like Chrome OS. I hate Chrome OS. But it is an OS. It's Linux.
I don't think so.
That Linux is the OS. Chrome is it?
Yeah, it's a stepped down version of
OS.
Yeah,
but that's like saying like OS 10 is Unix, and it's not really
operating
system.
When I open the terminal, I got Unix.
No, I know it is. But she's saying that like Chrome OS isn't
an OS.
Right?
You're agreeing with me or her?
I don't know.
Figure that out.
I'm going to cross that
agree
at this
with
point.
I would agree with the woman who brought muffins.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I don't think that's the reason. I think you're demeaning her. You're marginalizing her opinion.
Oh,
that's why I bring it. If you've got the cake, you're always right. That's why he puts
Apple
up with
is buying HopStop.
What?
It is a mass transit app. This is one advantage Google really has with Google Maps. It's just Google Maps
has deteriorated to an extreme, by the way.
You don't like the new one? 7.0?
I haven't gone to 7.0 yet.
7.0 just came out. I love it. They did make it simpler. It's a little like, for instance, I don't see as much detail in the map.
It looks
I'm telling you, there was something going on about these maps, because they were much better like 6 to 9 months
ago. You
think
they lost the license to whatever
it is? Something, but they won't talk about it.
Hmm.
I've tried to talk to the public relations department, press at Google, and they refused to even answer a question about this.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that was genuine. I'm sorry. I sounded sarcastic, but... No, they should talk to you about that.
Google Maps, and one of the things Google's done is they are aggregating public transit information from city governments. It's interesting because some city governments have locked it down, saying you can't have it. We want to have our own app, which I think is not what city governments should be doing with that data. But apparently Apple, which has lost its transit instructions, and the Apple Maps doesn't have it, when they got rid of Google Maps, have acquired HopStop. They offer walking, taxi, and bicycle directions, as well as mass transit directions. So that's something that will be, I guess, back in Maps as soon as this acquisition happens.
I didn't have it on my Windows phone.
Now, you have Bing Maps.
No, this is Google Maps.
Oh,
on Windows.
Oh, you did it from the website.
She downloaded it.
No, I downloaded it. It's an app in the Google Store.
What?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. This is my Google
Places. You have Google Places? Google
Maps. Yeah.
Is it a Google app?
It's a Google app.
For the Windows phone. Oh, I didn't know they made it for the Windows phone.
I didn't either. And then I was like, whew, don't have to use the
Well, download the Here stuff, too, from Nokia. That's quite good. Nokia has excellent maps as well.
This is an HTC, so.
I don't know about that.
You can still download it.
I can?
Yeah.
I don't want to. I just want to use Google Maps.
I played with those Nokia maps.
You don't
maps.
Like the Here stuff?
No. Well, maybe I haven't, because I haven't done it for a year.
Well, no, yeah, I think it's...
Waze is another one out there.
I love Waze.
I hate Waze.
Waze is great.
Oh, now everybody loves Waze.
I can't handle it.
I'm with Jolie again, and here's the reason. It's essentially a distraction for a driver to play with Waze. If you have a navigator, yeah, it's the best, because they can be punching stuff
in. Well, I agree with you. It's risky, but all Maps apps are distracting.
Yeah, but this is really distracting, because they got little bubbles, and you're supposed to respond. Oh, there's a cop there. Let me write it in. You pull over to the side of the road, or maybe you pull off into the wrong lane. You get killed. I'm telling you, this is the most dangerous product out there.
It won't let you enter it if you're the driver.
It says.
It sounds worse than Prism.
Yeah, it says.
It sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, worse than Prism.
Waze.
That's the real enemy we should be fighting is Waze.
I do like the Waze. The one thing I like about Waze is the gas station app, which is within the product. You click on the little bubble, and it shows you all the nearby gas stations, which saved me on some recent trip, by the way. But you find all the nearby gas stations. You can get instructions to them. But it shows you the best prices within about 5 miles of where you are. And it's updated constantly.
There's also a great app called The Road Ahead, which I think it's on iOS. I don't know if it's on Android, that does the same thing. It shows you at each exit up ahead of you what is there, and you can use it to find restaurants and gas stations. It has their prices. It jumps off to Gas Buddy for the prices, but it's a great app for a long road trip.
Vision Mobile polled 6,000 mobile developers. Who makes the most money? What platforms are their favorites? We'll tell you in just a moment. You're watching Twit with John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com, and noagendashow.com. Jolie O'Dell from VentureBeat. Kevin Rose, my old friend from the screen, the dark tipper from the Screensavers. Dig, Milk, and now...
I should also plug a new domain, which I'm going to be doing some more work for.
We'll talk about a new domain as well. The Gina Smith Center Prize.
You know, she moved to Oklahoma.
What?
Nobody knows
Oklahoma?
This.
What?
Oklahoma.
She's a neighbor.
She moved to Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Last time I talked to her, she was thinking of moving to Petaluma. She moved to Oklahoma?
Yeah. You know, she has a son who's destined to be like an NBA superstar center.
Eric is very tall.
He's very tall. He's going to be, they predict 7 foot easy.
Wow.
He's got an old, one of the scouts for the Golden State Warriors is coaching him.
Oh, so he wants to be a Sooner. He thinks this is his best shot at
the NBA. No, he's going to a school because he's also apparently a world-class opera singer. I mean, this is the gold mine, this kid.
I think Gina's making this stuff up.
No, she's
He's an opera singer and basketball player.
In fact, she was at an opera where he's singing. Apparently, he's this unbelievable singer. He's going to be such a star in the NBA because of these little idiosyncrasies, because he'll get a lot of publicity, that she won't have to pay anything for college, nothing.
Well, good for her. This opera school's in Oklahoma?
No. He was in a play, an opera in Oklahoma over the last week, and that's where she was. But she moved there.
I'm not. And people think I'm dissing Oklahoma. I'm not. I'm just surprised. I thought last I heard she was in San Francisco thinking of moving to Petaluma.
Well?
Maybe she thought Petaluma and
one
Oklahoma.
One step ahead of you,
Maybe I misunderstood. Anyway, Kevin is now a venture capitalist with Google Ventures, one of the partners there.
Yep.
Good gig. You get to see all the new stuff. Do you get to, like, the people from the Google projects, the X project, come over and show you stuff?
I've seen some stuff, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's fun.
It's cool. What can you, anything you can tell us about? Like the rocket ship that they're building?
Really. No.
Okay.
I do have a good rumor though on from Samsung.
Okay, so hold on. Kevin's been great on this stuff. You nailed that. A bunch of Apple rumors last year. Also with us, Dwight Silverman from the Houston Chronicle, blog.cron.com/techblog. He also is the host of Reality Bites. No.
Technology Bites.
Technology Bites.
And we just celebrated our 18th year. We've been on the air for 18 years. Yep. I haven't been with it for 18
years. That's a long time. Joe's been,
yep. We may be the longest continually running on one station radio show.
Yeah, easily. I have been doing Tech Talk Radio since 91, so longer than that. But it was not continuous. I stopped during the Tech TV era, and it was on different channels. You know, I kept moving around. So, I would say if that show's been on the same, was it it's Pacifica, right?
KPFT.
KPFT.
Right, Pacifica. We're on a couple other Pacifica stations, including, I think, one in the San Francisco area.
Well, that would be KPFA.
No, there's another. Is there another one? I don't know if it's KPFA.
All right.
It's in California somewhere.
Okay. Well, good. I'll look for it. Technology Bites, Wednesdays.
Wednesday night at 8.
Our show brought to you by our friends at Citrix, who do the great go-to meeting. If you summertime is a tough time to get people together for meetings. Everybody's on vacation, moving around, traveling. And of course, nowadays with the offices all over the place, Kevin's in San Francisco, his team's in Mountain View. It's hard. But with GoToMeeting, you can have meetings with anybody, anywhere, anytime. And with HD faces, you actually see them in crystal clear HD video. You could see the screen. So you're on the same page. You're seeing them eye to eye. Meetings are, as much as I hate to admit it, they are the way to cut through, you know, the clutter, the confusion, to make plans, to brainstorm, to be creative. Meetings do get the job done. And with GoToMeeting, you can make sure those meetings are as efficient and as easy as possible. I want you to visit GoToMeeting.com. Take a look at what it can do. It's totally mobile. GoToMeeting works on not only Macs and PCs, but iPhones, iPads, Android devices. You can even present from an iPad, which is pretty awesome. Using the iPad's camera, they can see you. Using the iPad's microphone and headphones, you can hear them. You can talk to them. It's, you know, you'd be by the pool attending a meeting. You could try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Use our promo code TWIT. The summertime is the right time to get GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting.com, the offer code TWIT will get you 30 days free. All right, I think we should start with the Samsung rumor. I like that. What do you hear? What do you know?
Well, I hear about these wearable devices, the watch, and I hear about the same. I heard a little rumor about
Samsung's
the Samsung
supposed to
watch.
Have one. Apple's supposed to have one. Microsoft says we have a watch again.
Yeah, the Samsung watch, what I thought was interesting about this rumor is that they said it actually has a camera built into it that points out like this way.
Oh, that won't be
so
awkward.
You could look like this?
So you can go and take pictures like this.
I think that's pretty good.
That was the rumor I heard.
That's natural.
And it runs Android. I heard that rumor
like
as well.
If you're like Inspector Gadget.
yeah.
Smile. Or I'll
Dick Tracy.
You. Like, it looks weird.
It looks like Dick Tracy.
Yeah, that'll play well on radio, too.
Well, I'm sincere when I say I think wearable computing absolutely is the next big thing. It's a challenge, though. Because glasses aren't quite right because they're very visible and they're nerdy and not everybody wants to wear glasses. A wristwatch isn't quite right either. I mean, really, a smartphone is not so bad. I mean, that is a good display now. This is a 1080p display.
Well, that's if you need a computer. Wearable computing could be a lot of things. It could be a sensor.
Well, exactly.
It could accomplish one task instead of 50. Like, I think if you want a computer, you certainly don't want one on your wrist or in front of your face. Like, I would take sensors.
Well, I think it's all of that, right? So I think maybe there is a computer in your pocket. That's how Google Glass works. That's tied to the glass. The glass isn't a computer by itself. A watch probably wouldn't be either.
See, I wouldn't want a watch. I think if it's something that Apple's going to come out with, it's going to be like flexible OLED technology that goes around, like a display that wraps, something that's a little bit like, who wants a watch anymore?
It's more like a slave bracelet.
I agree with Kevin 100% on this.
Maybe
slap bracelet.
Who wants a watch anymore? You've got to watch a pocket watch.
Right.
A pocket watch is called.
I hate when they call it a watch. Like, that's the last thing I want the next generation like wearable thing to do is a watch.
Who's wearing a watch in our audience? A wristwatch. 3, 4, 5 people.
Aaron is.
6 people.
Bam.
Aaron, you wear a wristwatch?
Hey, look.
Why do you wear a wristwatch?
Dwight's got one.
So that I don't look at my
Why do I wear wristbands?
Oh, because you want to look at your time, but you don't want to look at the phone.
He wants to be, oh, look at me. I'm a fancy billionaire with a big old watch like that.
You guys have had the craziest remote fight.
The cakes,
give it to her next
fella.
Time.
Do you want? Do you have anything you want to say to Daria right now?
Hey, man.
What about that raccoon? I killed him, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, dude.
I got some points for that one.
I'm kind of a man, huh?
Look at that.
There we go. I'm not crazy. I'm eccentric. Thanks, Google Money. There's one caption to go with a raccoon. No. You can do better than that. Keep working.
Keep digging.
Something about a raccoon.
Slave bracelets.
I agree. Sensors in the clothes
and in the wrist. Like the
we both wear the Fitbit Flex, which is cool.
I've done the Jawbone, which is awesome. Like
you turned me on to the
better.
Fitbit. I remember when it came out, but like 6 months before it came out, you said this is going to be cool.
Well, and for the
elderly
and people with health problems, sensors can be lifesavers. Exactly. You know, if you need to have contact with your doctor, like kind of around the clock.
I've fallen and I can't get up. Remember that?
Good luck getting a hold of a doctor nowadays.
Not just people in ill health. Any in general. I mean, I think biomed. You must be looking at this. Maybe not you, but somebody at Google's got to be looking at the idea of
Google X. They're making a lot of hardware over there. That
yeah,
we can't talk about
biomedical sensors that could. Sense blood oxygen, you know, could take gas readings.
God.
Could take
it's
blood
coming.
Pressure.
It's coming. A lot of stuff's coming.
I would think so.
It's all coming.
I would like that because I'm almost dead, and I think it would be really good.
The show's almost dead. I don't know about you.
Because she's a diabetic, and she has to
exactly.
still draw blood every
She has
day.
To poke herself.
She does. It's painful. She has calluses on her poor
yeah.
fingers. Why would you do that to my mother?
Yeah, John. What's wrong with you and Aaron?
All men.
If I can get her on my side, maybe I'll get more muffin.
Seems unlikely.
Wow.
This is, you know, this kind of innuendo is outrageous. Outrageous.
You know,
she stopped bringing buns. She stopped bringing buns because she knew that I would really get mileage out of this. But it doesn't matter. Any baked good will work. 6,000 mobile. Go ahead. Yes.
There's your show title.
Any baked good will do. Any baked good in a storm?
Or muffin. Or muffin is
Vision Mobile surveyed 6,000 mobile developers. I'd actually be interested in what you think of this survey, Kevin. They said that Android is the most popular, but iOS is the most profitable.
What kind of company is doing the survey?
Survey company. I don't know. They're called Vision Mobile. I don't know their name.
Vision Mobile.
I know
Let
what
me
you...
look up.
Yeah, you look at it. It's in VentureBeat.
Suspect.
Well, here's the...
But you're right. I mean, these
I
surveys,
say,
one
No, this
one
iPhone
never knows.
Versus Android bullcrap, it depends on who's asking on which day. It goes back and forth all the time. iOS makes
but
more
But this
money.
Is a
no,
large
Android
sample size. 115
is not large.
For developers, it is. 115 countries. iOS developers making an average of $5,200 a month. That's a lot in app revenue. Android, $4,700. And I think a lot of people think that there's no money in Android.
So the difference is like that's the difference?
$500. And more developers plan to start developing for Windows Phone than any other platform.
Oh, bull. Now we know it's bull.
Yeah, this is sponsored. Oh, sponsored by Microsoft. The
no. Line. Does it say that?
No, it doesn't.
It will if you dig deep enough.
Well, their clients include
plan
Microsoft and Nokia,
key.
So yeah, I'm sure that they would
key.
Say something like that. Thing.
The average developer builds for 2.9 ecosystems simultaneously.
What?
That's
I don't.
That doesn't sound
that
right.
Doesn't, that sounds like that sounds.
That's
like
down from 2011, in which they built for 3.2 ecosystems. BlackBerry probably the loser there.
Each what do you think about BlackBerry?
Sole developer or developer? Yeah,
is there a shot at BlackBerry?
If they go Android, yeah.
You say Android instead of BlackBerry? You mean
dump it? Dump it all. Build your apps for Android and run Android.
All right, so then it would be, no, because that's hopeless, because even HTC, which is making great Android hardware, is having a very hard time.
Sure, but they also have a lot of like professional apps that could run on top of that, like their own custom
enterprise server running.
All their enterprise stuff, their keyboard that everyone loves, like all the stuff that they do well, their Messenger, charge for that and run that as an enterprise.
They're doing cross-platform BBM.
Right.
Maybe that's a sign. Well, you know, people have said that about Nokia, too. Why doesn't Nokia just go Android? Yeah.
That's what I've said since day one.
Acknowledge that there are two mobile operating systems and two only.
Well, they're making a very specific bet. And I think that when you are trying to resurrect a piece of hardware that hasn't been popular in the U.S. for quite some
Blackberry,
time.
BlackBerry, you're talking about.
No, Nokia.
Nokia, okay.
Yeah, Nokia. Which one do we say? What it do doesn't you say? Matter.
Nokia.
I think
Nokia.
You have to make Nokia. A big Nokia. Bet and really focus Nokia. On something that will delight consumers. And Android, I've used it for years, and it has ceased to be delightful. Windows I don't think, and, I don't think truly gorgeous.
I don't think anybody says Android is delightful. Even no. people like me who love Android, I'm not sure I would say it's delightful.
I wouldn't even call the iPhone delightful. I think it's been...
iPhone's far from delightful. It's antiquated at this point.
I know. I'm so surprised that iOS 7 didn't keep pace with what other mobile operating systems
You're an
doing.
Aesthetic person.
I do.
You've got
like
a dog dressed in a teal polo shirt.
Yeah, poor guy. He's growing up.
Yeah, well, that poor dog.
That's, should that's why he's so what sedate.
What do you think of iOS 7?
Me?
How it looks.
No, he's talking about dog
aesthetics. So it's somewhere between hipster 2010 and iPhone 2007. It's got, it's
I'm
not
crazy about it.
He's using the word hipster a lot today.
Hipster's a good word.
I'm not so
Am
sure.
I? I've used it twice, haven't I?
Twice.
Four times?
Are you counting?
He's counting.
He's got the hipster counter.
He's got a little clicker.
That and the other one's, you haven't done it, but he has and he does it a lot, which is the word amazing.
I love that. I find it amazing.
Word. I love it.
Everyone uses it. It's kind of like a cliche.
I like
thing.
Breathtaking as well.
Oh,
that's, at least like different. A taker of breath.
That's definitely different.
Awesome.
Something takes it
I use
awesome.
Angel astonishing.
Astonishing. Astonishing. Awesome.
Just don't say amazeballs, please.
How about mind-boggling?
Mind-boggling, that's a good one.
And that's not overused.
I'm going to start uses using that. Gob-stopping from now on. That's my
gob what does stopping? It mean?
Gob-stopping.
That's a candy. Oh,
does that mean it shuts you up?
Yeah.
Your gob is your...
Your gob is stopped because you're so breathtaking.
Oh. Well, that won't happen
I thought you said
podcast.
Something else.
Well, we're all gob-stopped now.
It didn't take much.
I think that this is an interesting question Kevin posed. Should BlackBerry go Android?
Hadn't they considered it?
No. I heard I think they should.
No?
No.
Yes. No, no because BlackBerry, no. I think no, Nokia should.
It becomes just a commodity device.
That the problem Every at this, other... well, that's what he's saying, is that acknowledge the commoditization of the OS and start to say, hey, but we provide better keyboards, better enterprise security. We have a server you guys are used to using.
I played
their
with
trajectory
a couple
is
of
too,
these at
their
Costco.
Trajectory is too downward now.
They, I like
It's too late for
BlackBerry?
Them.
Yeah.
10?
No matter what they do, it's too late for BlackBerry.
Why aren't you using it?
It's too late for BlackBerry. Or...
It is too late. I think you're right. It would be. That's a Hail Mary.
That's a Hail Mary. That's what they have to do at the very end, and they probably will.
Never say never. I mean, look at Yahoo. We would have said it was over for Yahoo
it is.
A couple years ago.
It may
ago.
Still be over for so. Yahoo.
Yeah, we'll put money
I
on
think
this.
They've got some really great products out right now, and I just can't wait to see what happens.
The problem with Yahoo is that Marissa has done wonderful things at making things beautiful. Like their weather app is awesome on the iPhone.
It's gorgeous.
But it's like, it's okay. Like, where's the big game changer here?
How
other
do you
than
revolutionize
just like,
a business by making a great weather app?
Right, right. Exactly.
What does that do for you?
I think
exactly.
that
gets
was
you an extra $10,000 a year.
Of concept for what the company is capable of. We think of Yahoo as stodgy.com bullcrap, to borrow a word from my colleague here. But I think that, I think it's in the process of reinventing itself. And in a year, I think she's done great
I'm
work.
I'm excited. I agree. She's done
and
great
with
work.
With all the acquisitions that Yahoo has made, I mean, she's made, what, 80% of Yahoo's acquisitions during the company's multi-decade history.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have bought Tumblr, though.
It is what it is. It's a lot of web traffic.
It's a lot of web traffic, but, like, what else is it?
Well, what she bought,
porn.
Not just
lots
Tumblr.
Of
it's
porn.
Lots
of porn.
Gotta love that porn.
Which they're deprecating.
She bought a lot of really great design talent, a lot of mobile talent, and I think... We'll see the results of those acquisitions over the next year.
Yeah, but if you want that, just buy Path. If you want really good design talent, good mobile talent.
I don't think Dave
I don't
Warren's
think
for
Path
sale.
Is that
you know
well
Dave, he's not for
designed.
Sale.
He's for sale.
Is he for sale?
He's
for $1 billion, he's for sale.
Less than a billion.
So, so you
okay,
can take
you heard it,
a
Marissa.
Lesson. You can take a lesson of what Yahoo's doing from Google, which is where she came from. And Kevin, you probably know this. Google has spent the last 3 or 4 years kind of putting pieces together, and people would look at what they were doing and say, what is that for? What is that? And then they had Google Plus, and Google Plus is trying to pull it all together. And that's what she's doing. She's pulling the pieces together, and at some point there's going to be some spark and everything will kind of come together like the Terminator, you know, with the
I think that's the right analogy. That's
what's
going
to happen. And so, and that happened at Google, and that's where she learned how to run a company. And that's what's going to happen, is that at some point, everything will come together. For
yeah, that's
boy,
a good
talking about a lot of wishful thinking on this show.
Woo! August 12th. August 12th, we're going to find out something very exciting from Elon Musk. And we're going to talk about Hyperloop when we come back. But first, let's find out what's coming up in the week ahead. Tom Merritt is in the twit.tv newsroom. Tom?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Monday, July 22nd, OSCON, the open source conference, begins in Portland. Keep your eye out for Randall Schwartz from Floss Weekly. Also, Leap Motion is finally beginning to ship. In fact, some people say it was already shipping this weekend. Tuesday, July 23rd, Apple has its Q3 earnings report. Also, AT&T has their earnings report. And Verizon has some sort of event. They already announced Edge, probably Droid phones. Who knows? Wednesday, July 24th. It's Facebook Earnings Day. Also, 500 Startups Demo Day West. Dell has their postponed shareholder meeting to vote on selling the company back to Michael Dell and a bunch of other investors. And Google has a press event with Android and Chrome chief Sundar Pichai. Friday, July 26th, it's WordCamp San Francisco. The Nokia Lumia 1020 launches on AT&T. And Saturday, July 27th, Black Hat Conference kicks off. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Previously on Twit, This Week in Google.
I wonder how cheap it's going to be, what the marketing campaign is going to be like. Oh, he's going to blow. He's going to blow.
Triangulation.
It reminds me almost like of a Christo or some sort of big public art project.
It's 1.8 miles long, 500 feet high, 25,000 LED lights. It's the biggest LED light sculpture in the world.
Gizwiz.
Yes, wow. You freeze them in the freezer. You can burn somebody's hand off with these new lightsaber popsicles.
NSFW.
The day that I found Twitter was the day I fell in love. It had so many brilliant thoughts that made me say, me too.
Twit.
Now, where'd I put my iPhone?
You know, there are very few songs where you think, oh, if only that song had cello.
Cello or jello?
Jello. Either.
Okay.
Elon Musk says he's going to tell you how the Hyperloop's going to work August 12th. Elon, a pretty amazing fellow, of course.
This is the next
I'm
Steve Jobs.
I'm such a fan.
This
I'm
is the next Steve Jobs.
People often liken him to, what's his name, Iron
Tony
Man.
Stark.
Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Founder of SpaceX, Tesla Motors. The Hyperloop is, an L.A. to San Francisco
bullet thing.
Bullet thing. A cross between a rail gun, the Concorde, and an air hockey table. It would deliver people 360 miles, L.A. to San Francisco, in 30 minutes. We're supposedly building a multi-billion dollar bullet train. This would take 3 hours. This would be like 30 minutes.
That'd be so
awesome. If he derails the bullet train, I'll be a fan. That thing is a waste of money.
He says the bullet train is inefficient.
The world's slowest bullet train.
Yeah, 3 hours. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can walk faster.
That's not true.
I got to laugh.
He says the Hyperloop, he's going to publish it as open source, which that's... Of course, you can give that away because it's a multi-billion dollar thing, right? You can say, hey, anybody wants to build one of these, go right ahead. I don't mind.
Yeah, well, you know, he doesn't know what this thing is yet. He's still having meetings. In fact, the one that everyone thinks it is the ET3, which is the evacuation tube transport technology.
Like a pneumatic tube, basically?
Kind of.
It's a big pneumatic tube.
And you get in this little car.
Like at the bank.
Right. Yeah.
It's a small, comfy car.
And it goes.
It holds four people. Boom.
The problem with all of this, and I'd love to see how he solves it, is acceleration and deceleration.
Apparently.
You can't accelerate too fast or you're jelly. Right? So most of that 30 minutes, if it really goes that fast, most of that time is spent accelerating and decelerating.
Yeah. Mm. Probably about the time you get the speed that you have to start slowing down.
Right. Well, what about airplanes? Don't they have roughly the same problem?
No. There's not that kind of geez. I mean, if you're going to 380 miles in 30 minutes.
Well, how long is the flight?
I guess it's not that fast.
And tell me that, but they're kind of bullcrapping us about the distance. They keep calling San Francisco to L.A. If you look at all the
documents. It's more than 380 miles.
Yeah, it's about 440.
All right. So let's say it's 380, which it's not. But let's say it's 380. In half an hour, that means you're going 760 miles an hour. Average. If you're accelerating and decelerating for 10 minutes.
Well, the ET3 will not break the sound barrier. So that's – although they say they can do – the ET3 guys say they can do up to 2,500 or 3,000 miles an hour in this tube, which I don't know if –
But notice they call it an evacuation tube. It sounds – I may be wrong, but it sounds to me like a last-ditch thing that you would use if there's, you know, you're going to die. Okay, get in the tube. That's better than dying.
Well, it sounds like Running Man, if you remember that movie, where they shoot you off into this tube. According to
I want it.
I know these guys, and it's a, they have all the tech down, and the guy who runs the ET3 operation is pretty smart.
Sound barrier is 768 miles per hour.
So
at ground level?
I don't know. Ground
presumably, what? Is it bad to break the sound barrier in a tube?
I don't know. Maybe it makes a big boom at the other end. I have no idea. Somebody's sitting there waiting for the thing, and they get blown off the platform.
So
how are they dealing with the right-of-way issue? In other words, they're going to have to put this on land somewhere, or even under land. They got to buy the land or have the rights to put it there. You know, it's going to be a whole bunch of legal issues of building something this big.
If anybody else said, I'm going to do this, people would just go, yeah. But it's Elon Musk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's sent things into space that are docking with the International
Space Station. Yeah, it's Tony Stark. Station. Yeah.
If you can go to space, yeah, but, you can go to L.A. Yeah, but,
you're dealing with that.
Rights of way are much worse.
Yeah.
Shooting things into space is just dealing with physics. This is dealing with lawyers and governments and...
Right.
And
who the hell wants that thing shoot by your house?
Well, he's not saying he's building it. He says he's going to give the
plans away.
Show
you how you could do it.
Yeah, exactly.
If anybody else wants to.
Trees.
But there's no point in mentioning it unless you want to build it.
Well, yeah, maybe he can get enough interest.
Well, they tried to run the thing down the peninsula, and everybody in the peninsula would get all bent out of shape about the high-speed rail.
No, you have to go inland next to the five.
So they went out there. And
ain't Jack out there.
And now it goes to Bakersfield or something, and has to stop there.
You get a Greyhound
from
Bakersfield to L.A.
Bus.
I got here in 3 hours, but I got to take an eight-hour bus ride.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon all now have very uneconomical upgrade plans. T-Mobile started it with their Jump plan. Every 6 months, a new phone. AT&T said, well, if you're going to do Jump, we're going to do Next. Verizon says, well, if you're going to do Next, we're going to do Edge. So far, nothing from Sprint. All of these allow you to get a new phone every 6 months. I mean, there are people, not normal people, but the kind of people who listen to this show or are sitting in our audience who want a new phone every 6 months. But what are you paying for this? A lot.
It's 6 months for Verizon and T-Mobile and a year for AT&T. And the problem is that T-Mobile, when they did this, they reduced their prices when they changed their business model because they dropped contracts and subsidies. But neither Verizon nor AT&T have changed their prices. So even though you get this phone and you get it separately, you're paying for it separately, the prices you pay for the service plan still have the subsidies built in. So it's like paying twice for the same phone on those two carriers. It's not a good deal at all.
The Verge did some math. And even if you don't do it every 6 months, if you just do a new phone every year, it'll cost you $2,459 on T-Mobile, $3,000 at Verizon, $3,600 on AT&T.
Wow.
Over the 2 years. So it's expensive.
So they're just figuring that early adopters can't do math or just love being suckers. Is that what that is?
Or willing to pay for the privilege. I mean, I buy unlocked full price phones and then just put
you've
a
got
SIM
tons
chip
of them. What do you do with your old ones? Can I have your HTC one? Please, can I have it?
You can have mine. I have one.
Oh, you don't like it?
It's okay.
I'd like to have you use it for a while.
I'm waiting.
It's not the default Google OS one, though.
I am waiting for the Moto X.
I still play with it.
Because the Moto X, that may be, and if I do get that, then I will give you whatever you want.
It will not have a SIM card. Doesn't have a SIM card capable. SD card. I'm sorry.
Well, we don't know. All of that is speculation.
Does the HTC One have the big SIM card or the little dinky stupid
one? They all have
the
little tiny ones.
Nobody has a big SIM card.
No.
I had one on my two-year-old phone.
Yeah.
Google I.O. 2 years ago.
The problem with SIM cards on Android in general is it's not really it doesn't extend your storage. It's a separate thing you can put music and photos on. If you don't have enough main storage, as you don't with the Galaxy S4 16 gigs, you're screwed even with I have a 64 gig SIM card in here, but I still have to watch my memory because most apps have to live on the main. Pardon me? What did I say?
You said SIM card, too.
SD card. Thank you.
I threw everybody off. I'm sorry.
Not a SIM card. Nothing to do with a SIM card. Right. Oh, you were talking about SIM cards.
I was talking about SD cards.
Oh, you were talking about SIM cards.
I'm talking about SIM cards.
Why were you talking about SIM cards? Who the hell cares?
Use the little bitty one.
They all use the little one.
Who the hell cares?
I do.
I have a cutter. I'll give it to you. You can cut it to any size. Seriously, you could take a full size SIM, cut it to a micro nano SIM. It all works.
I'll get it from you.
Use a laser cutter. Just do.
Yeah, and you could engrave your initials on it, or a picture of a raccoon if you really.
Apparently, they're
pulling our
legs. Are you going to get a raccoon tat?
Well, it's tension.
Oh, you should.
I should.
A raccoon like this.
Like just across my
flying.
Back.
Flying. A flying, like, oh!
And then I can always, like, when I'm at pool parties, I can act like
here we go
throwing.
Again.
Raccoon killer.
I've gone back to the raccoon story. This
Netflix,
is like a circular show. It's
congratulations.
Weird.
High five to Netflix. Emmy nominations. It's first for both House of Cards and Arrested Development.
And see, House of Cards, I get. Arrested Development.
I agree with her again.
Oh, no. Arrested Development was good.
Just don't get us on the show together anymore because there's too much agreement.
I thought Arrested Development was good. Three nominations. Jason Bateman, Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. Outstanding Single Camera Picture Editing for a Comedy Series. That's a category. Outstanding Music Composition for a Series. House of Cards nominated
for... one camera shoot? How cheap is that operation?
No, that's the new thing. It's a look. It's a look.
Okay.
Because everything's moving around. So when you talk, I point the camera
at you. Oh, you're talking about that.
That's a
look.
Direction.
Well, it mimics reality television.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like that. It's Battlestar Galactica did that.
It's like you go, oh, my God, I'm going to throw up watching
you're an old man.
Well, hey, you're the old man. I'm a young man trying to get by.
House of Cards nominated for Outstanding Direction from David Fincher. Outstanding casting for a drama, outstanding cinematography, outstanding single camera picture editing for a drama series, outstanding musical composition for a series, and outstanding original main title theme music, which is quite good. The main title's great.
There's nothing about House of Cards that I don't love.
It wasn't until 2008 the internet was even eligible for an Emmy.
I would suspect Kevin Spacey's behind this change.
You should get Kevin Spacey on the show.
We were going to...
Dana, what's his name?
In fact, I called Dana, and I said, Dana, I want Kevin on when House of Cards came out. And he said, he's on vacation. When season two is ready to be released, we'll have him on. So,
sweet.
Yeah.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah. Kevin's great. Kevin's a geek, too. He's really into technology. Oh, yeah. He's really
I'll
into
watch that, David.
Dana Brunetti.
I remember when we had him on the screensavers. It was cool.
Why are you bringing me an Emmy? And now the Emmy goes to House of Cards.
That's a very small Emmy.
Yeah, it's a regional.
So will House of Cards win? It's good that it get nominated, but will it win? What is it up against?
I don't know. Yes, it will win.
Will it win?
You know why
you
it'll
think win?
House of Cards will win.
Awesome.
Best lead actor in a drama, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, he'll win.
Best lead actress in a drama, Robin Wright.
Bryan Cranston? Mm.
Yeah. Bryan Cranston's good. You're right. You're talking Breaking Bad. And they ended their season. You know what else might have been nominated had it come out a little sooner? Orange is the New Black, which is also a Netflix original, is quite good.
Everyone is talking about it.
Is that the vampire one?
No,
it's a prison one.
Vampires
women in prison.
Vampires in prison.
No, the vampire one's True Blood.
No. There's a
new one. Oh, yeah, there's a new one. Is that's also on Netflix?
Yeah, there's one on Netflix that's like...
Or is it Amazon Originals? Because Amazon's doing
Netflix.
This, too.
I don't know what this
Hemlock
is, new technology.
Road. Hemlock.
It's
Road.
On the internet, John.
Oh.
Hemlock.
Yeah.
Hemlock.
I know.
Which is kind of like a Twin Peaks ripoff.
Hemlock Grove.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. Is that on Netflix?
Yeah.
It looks really like...
I tried.
I'll tell you why it's a story, because Netflix, which was originally the idea of DVDs by mail, which now seems kind of antiquated... is completely pivoting into a content creation company. They want to be the next HBO. I think that's fascinating.
I think
they're doing a good job
of
it.
But...
All right. Let's talk about something else. The Nintendo Entertainment System turns 30.
The Famicom.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Some people still have them and use them.
If I had a Sega Dreamcast, I'd still use that.
I still have one.
Oh, can I borrow it?
Did you get the fishing reel?
Sega. You have that too?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Famicom saved an industry on July 15th, 1983. Is there any hope for Nintendo? Is it kind of over?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Not against the PlayStation 4.
No, you say no hope or no, it's not over.
I think from the hardware side, it's kind of
hard. Pretty hard.
I disagree.
They'll be like Sega. They'll produce all their great content for everybody else's console.
I don't think so.
Have they started doing that yet? Can you get Mario and anything else? No, it's still unique, exclusive content.
I have the new one, and it's just, I don't know, other than it being HD,
the Wii
which is awesome.
U?
Yeah, the Wii U.
Is it? It is HD finally.
Yeah, it's finally HD.
I would give just about anything to play original Super Mario Brothers on.
That's because of your age.
Xbox.
You are of an age. You are of that generation. You, I can. You're,
what's yours?
You're
Pong?
An ageist.
No, but I have no interest in anything on Nintendo. Yes.
Bloop.
I wouldn't play it, but that's that was when I was 22. That was the game. How old were you when you played Mario?
Eight.
You see, they didn't have video games when I was eight. We had rocks.
I knew something was coming.
Sometimes we'd paint them.
I had rocks. I had lots of mud, but then once
we had
I
raccoons too,
mud,
but I never thought of throwing them.
There you go. You learned something on this show, ladies and gentlemen. Listen long enough.
Tim Stevens, who's been a regular on this show many times as EIC at Engadget, is out.
What's he doing now?
Gadget's Mark Purton. Remember, AOL bought Gadget. Mark Purton from Gadget is taking over as Engadget head until they find a new editor-in-chief. Not clear, according to TechCrunch, whether Stevens resigned or was terminated. AOL says he resigned. Love, Tim. Tim, come on the show. Talk about it. You want to bitch and moan? You can. I give you permission.
Probably signed something.
I'm sure he signed something. Someone just sold a Bitcoin business for $11.4 million.
Who?
Are you investing in Bitcoin in any way?
A little bit.
Really?
A little bit. I did one, it was Ripple, called OpenCoin. It's more of a transit for virtual currencies. And then...
Ah, so it's agnostic.
It's a layer, yeah, it's agnostic.
Yeah.
And then there's one I'm looking at right now that's currently in this Y Combinator class coming out in a few months.
So you think cryptocurrency is here to stay?
I don't know if Bitcoin is going to be the winner, but I would imagine that, you know, 10 years from now, if we like open our eyes, will there be a decentralized digital currency? I would say yes.
Yeah. Because it's anonymous. It's friction free. Why else? What else?
No transaction
fees. How about the government going after them?
They can't.
Ah, that's an interesting question. I mean, that's the risk, of course, right? If you're going to talk about risk factors, government puts us out of business.
We can't put the business in the United States, but like, as far as the currency is concerned, with it being decentralized,
right?
Like,
there's no one to put out of business, right? That's kind of intriguing because when you look at, for instance, credit card companies saying, you know, we're not going to enable payments for VPN services anymore because we feel that they are being used for piracy. Of course, VPN services are used for a lot of legitimate, completely legitimate things.
Yeah, I want to watch the BBC, for example.
Well, that's piracy. But
how's it piracy?
Well, that's what
I'm
they're talking
the
about.
BBC and
you're bypassing geographic
so
restrictions.
So what? How is that piracy? I'm not stealing anything. I just want to watch it.
Probably should be arrested.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't be arrested by the cops.
Anyway, that's going to keep things like Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies alive because if you want to use a VPN and you can't use a credit card... Suddenly, Bitcoin seems very desirable. It also preserves your anonymity, so you can really steal stuff privately.
Are there that many people who need that exact service for that exact reason?
I think
you'd be surprised how many people are using it for that.
I'd be surprised.
Like, you've heard of Silk Road and things like that?
Yeah, that's for drugs. That's drugs.
There's all kinds of stuff. Weapons, drugs.
No, just get a prescription. Walk over here to Oakland. You can buy all the drugs you want. Anyway, sorry.
I don't care.
But can you do it anonymously? With the assurance of the...
If you wear a Nixon mask. I'm old-fashioned that way.
Let's take a break. We got a...
Does she wear a Nixon mask? Wow.
Oh, it's hot.
That'd be something.
Audible.com, my friends. Audible.com. The ultimate audio bookstore, getting better all the time. Well over 100,000 titles now. Saved my life when I was commuting to Tech TV. I mean, I would have for sure either driven into a tree or killed somebody with road rage. 2 hours, 3 hours a day sometimes. On the road, but I was listening to great books. Now I've got 500 plus books in my library, all the greatest stuff. You know what the best time of the month for me is?
Well, everyone's. You got Jolie about to crack up
your
here.
Your moon time?
No.
What is it?
When I've got two credits on Audible. And I got actually a day because the 22nd is going
to
be
right
renew.
Now. Are you
I know.
Telling me?
It's a good time of the month.
Get you know what I just got?
What
on
should
Audible
I get?
Was
what?
Cooked. Michael Pollan's.
Oh, I love Michael
Pollan. Are you telling me that you just don't get a fire hose of books from Audible?
No, I've
sold more Audible product than anybody in the world.
I know, but my ethical foundations.
I should have 5,000 credits right now. Leo.
I should,
like,
and
seriously.
I don't.
Because
I pay for it just like everybody else does. I don't mind. It's worth it.
You.
Cooked, a natural history of transformation. But it's about cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love Michael Pollan. He's the guy who
did
Localarian or whatever. Locatarian. eating,
in
right?
Defense of food.
Oh, yeah. Not a crook.
He's fabulous. All right. I'm going to put that on my list. Let's see. So now what I do is I add that to my wish list or add it to my next list. Actually,
add it to your cart.
Add it to my cart. I also want to read this, Ernest Becker's Denial of Death. Considered by many to be the philosophical underpinnings.
Oh, yeah, sounds like
Ernest
a scream.
Becker?
It's a Pulitzer Prize winner in 1974, yeah, the culmination of his life work.
Yeah, but Becker is one of my professors. I know.
No.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. He's at Berkeley.
See, now you guys got to fight it out because Michael Pollan, Ernest Becker. But then, look what else I want to listen to. Inside Scientology, the story of America's most secretive religion.
That would be
boring.
Cool. I want to listen to that.
I want to listen to that, too.
Yeah.
Neil
I'm
Gaiman.
Just fascinated by that stuff.
Yeah, like, me too. Yeah.
Why?
Because it's fascinating.
I don't want to become a Scientologist. I'm just curious about the
cults.
Scenes. Yeah, the cult stuff.
Band of Brothers, the E Company, the Stephen Ambrose classic history of that became, of course, the TV show Band of Brothers.
Yeah,
but I would love to read the original of that.
Listen to it.
Listen. Well, I listen. I consider that reading because every word that's in the book is coming into my head, just not through my eyeballs, but through my ear holes.
Different part of the brain.
Well, do you think I understand a book differently because I listen to it?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Totally.
Well, it depends. Like,
you guys are
people,
what?
Writers will all say this, by the way.
Differently. If
well,
I
understand that.
No,
but do you think it's lesser somehow than
might
reading?
Be better.
Yes.
Might be more like storytelling.
Might
it might actually be better.
I think it's more natural.
Could go either way.
Could go either way. What do writers say?
Writers always have this sense that reading and hearing are two different parts of the brain.
You get
and they
the neuroscientist right over here if you want to know.
What do you think, Daria? She loves Audible. That's awesome.
That's her free audio book.
What kind of input was that? It was a cheap plug.
The writer.
She's got is your book on Audible yet? She's recording next week.
You're going to do the recording?
I am. It's foodist.
He won't even do that.
This is, by the way, must read. Great book. I really love it. And it's on Amazon right now. But foodist, stop dieting, lose weight. But it is going to be on Audible. It'll take a while, though. You're going to record next week. Are you going to Newark to record?
A couple months.
How exciting. Oh, yeah, they got to edit it.
There's nothing exciting about that. It sounds horrible.
No. It doesn't take a couple of months to record. You record in a couple of weeks. Couple of days.
5 days or something like that.
5 days, yeah. 4 days.
It's not exciting.
Because they don't want to make it a death march. You go in the booth, you read for a little bit. You've got a producer, right? Yeah, because the producer's huge because they say slow down, you're saying that word funny, that kind of thing.
Hey, that stinks. Say it again.
Say use a different voice.
Do it again.
Like
deep
this?
Deepen the voice.
Yeah.
Up,
didn't
down.
You do a children's book?
I did. And it was more of to experience what it was
like.
Leo. I did a short children's
book. Leo, let's listen to a
terrible. It's so terrible. It's free. You can get it for free. The little Golden Hood, because they couldn't afford the rights to the Little Red Riding Hood. So it's Little Golden Riding Hood.
To Little Red Riding Hood?
Apparently.
There it is. 4.4 stars. Narrated by Leo Laporte.
So,
let's hear a sample.
Yeah, oh, it's terrible.
On,
I did a terrible
it.
Job.
Play it. Play it.
Embarrassing.
Come on.
No
answer. You've played it before. Play
he
it.
He knocks louder. Nobody. Then he stands up on end. Puts his two forepaws on the latch, and the door opens.
It's Kevin Rose! He's going to throw me down the stairs!
Oh,
okay. Hey, that would have been a good ending.
That was
you
awesome.
Have such a wonderful
ending.
Voice, though. I think
anyway,
it's
thank you. You're very
I think
kind.
You should do this commonly.
No. I don't have time. What do you think? I'm going to go in a booth for 4 days?
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
I think people would appreciate you reading
I will
this
when I retire.
That was awesome.
I think you should do it as
it was the best
no, no,
of
no,
times.
No, the German voice.
It was the
German
worst
voice.
Of times.
Do the German voice.
Yeah. Little Red Riding Hood. You come here. I'm going to eat you. I had different choices.
Are there any
choices.
Germans well, in the audience
that
today?
That sounds more Austrian.
That
was
offensive.
German.
I had different choices for the wolf, and I did actually try some of those voices, and that's why our producer is so good, because he said no.
No. Stop it.
No.
Stop
it right now. Anyway, don't get that. It is 95 cents. They've raised they jacked the price up.
They've jacked the price up.
Do you get
up
a cut of that?
I get nothing.
A little quarter?
I don't want nothing. I
Come
want
on.
You to Take sign this. Up for audible.com. And in fact, if you go to audible.com/twit2, you can choose two books. You'll be signing up for the Platinum Plan. That's 2 credits a month, 2 books a month in most cases. And so pick the 2 books. Cancel anytime in the first 30 days. You pay nothing. Those books you get to keep. The problem is, it's really hard to pick. There's so many great. What are you listening to now, Daria? Besides the Michael Pollan book, anything else?
Heartbreaking Work of Staggering
Genius. Oh, I love that. Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius. Is that Dave Eggers? Yeah. What a great book. I didn't even know. Does Dave read it? What a! I didn't even know this was on Audible. This is a Dion Graham reads it. This is a that's a wonderful book. Highly recommend that. Great novel.
Yeah.
What are you listening to? William Shatner recording
session.
Somebody
in the chat room put a link where apparently Shatner goes nuts when he's trying to read one of these.
Let's play it after. Yeah. Because it's probably a lot of swearing.
It's under Shatner loses it in recording studio. You can you can put that up.
Well, it probably wasn't an Audible session.
No. Use Audible at the gym. That's the best. Two birds, single stone.
Otherwise, awesome. The treadmill, the Stairmaster, rowing.
Time just flies by.
Is the most boring, soul-draining thing in the world. But if you're listening to a book, half an hour, like that.
See, it's awesome.
Exercise sucks. I hate doing it. I do it every day. But I couldn't concentrate on a book.
Yes, you can.
While being severely, like, masochistic.
So you listen to Beyoncé instead?
No. I listen to the birds.
The birds.
I go run outside with my dog. Oh, I talk to my dog.
Roger McGuinn, the birds. Yeah.
No.
Actual birds.
Actual birds.
You listen to birds.
And I talk to Barkley.
Barkley, the dog.
I encourage him.
Oh, so you're running and Barkley runs along with you.
Yeah, he does.
Right, I'm going to play you this. This is William Shatner.
This is Howard Stern.
Session.
I guess is where you got the clip from.
Great. It really goes on a while, too. That's what's great about it. It's just.
Just play it, Howard.
This Howard's is William Shatner. And I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear. Okay?
Can there be a little more excitement in the beginning?
I love it. Okay. All right.
It sounded like really laid, you know, really super laid back.
Well, I'm saying, okay, I'll try and do that.
Oh, I've been there. No, I've been in that. I've been in that studio with that guy.
This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. Speak up.
Maybe you better do it's it. A little fast, William. Do it the way you hear. Slow it down.
Don't,
now?
Do it for me. No, I mean, just go ahead.
This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear.
Is that the way you'd like me to do it? Okay, I'll do it that way. Okay, ready. This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely.
It's only
going to
get worse.
Yeah,
you'll be amazed at what you hear.
I'm sure it's dynamite as it deteriorates. Anyway, it's on the YouTube.
Anyway, audible.com/twit2, and that is not how the Audible producers are, Daria. Don't worry. They're really good. You're going to have fun. Are they going to be in studio with you or via an ISDN line? How does that work? Oh, Harper's doing it. Your publisher's doing it. Ah, great. And then it will be available in bookstores as well as on audible.com, which is great. You can get cassettes.
Eight-track. Eight-track's the way to go.
I was so glad when Audible came along because I did used to do it via cassette. And you get a box this big, 20 cassettes.
You know, I have an 8-track recorder.
What?
Yes, indeed.
What would you do with that?
Party at John's
I found
house.
It at a some sort of a swap meet. It's actually an Akai tape recorder that's got the
this
reels
is pretty good.
And an 8-track recorder
in.
At the bottom.
Sure.
I think it's valuable. Anybody interested in buying it, I'm going to sell it.
Where do you find blank 8-tracks?
You take an 8-track, you tear off the label, and you blank it.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Because
sure.
You can do that.
You sure. Can do it with a magnetic
yep.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's called a degausser.
Degausser.
I had an 8-track recorder, and I made them for my 1963 Ford Galaxy 500 car with
now
the 8-track under the dash.
Now, is my memory faulty, or when you change tracks in an 8-track, does it make a fairly large clunk?
It makes a clunk.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Clunk.
Chunk.
Right in the middle of a song, you can do it.
Chunk.
Yes. In fact, I still hear songs that way. Here comes the ka-chunk. I still hear the
you
song.
Know, that's where the ka-chunk goes, where
that's
the
right.
Track changes.
Right.
Holy cow. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I hate to wrap it up. We had wonderful baked goods. We have Cuban cigars. We have an 18th century computer. And
yes, indeed.
And raccoons.
Raccoon chucker. You get it all.
Coon chucker.
What?
All right, I think we have a winner. I think we have a winner. They're, John, look
they
at
are little ninjas.
They're like little ninjas.
Hey, now you're talking.
And I have to say, if you haven't That's seen amazing. That image, who did that? That's a good one, Chad. Who did that one? That is
I'm
awesome.
Actually not sure. It was sent over. I wasn't paying attention, so
whoever sent it over
retroactively.
If you're not watching the video, they took the freeze frame of Kevin with the raccoon puppet, and they put a little bandit mask on Kevin.
And that's my Halloween outfit right
that
there.
That is awesome.
Done. Weird Ammy. Weird Ammy definitely. Sent that over.
Weird Am I yeah. believe, is his. Thank you, Weird Am I. And thank you to all of you for watching the show. We do the show each and every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That is 2300 UTC on twit.tv. You can always be in studio. We got a great studio audience. Thank you all for being here.
Big audience.
Love it.
Pack them in.
Email tickets at twit.tv if you'd like to come. In fact, we're having a special event on Wednesday. It's the second anniversary of our move into the new studios. 2 years ago, July 24th.
That's ridiculous.
Can you believe that?
No.
So we're going to have an open house all day. Anybody wants to come by, please do. We'll have food. We'll have drinks. We'll have a cake. And this triangulation episode on Wednesday will be a special edition because our guest will be me. And Tom Merritt and Sarah Lane will interview me.
You're going to interview yourself on your own network?
No, they're going to interview. Well,
I want to get you on Foundation. You need to come on as a guest on my show.
And let's talk about Foundation. Kevin Rose does a great – you still doing that?
Yeah, still doing it every once in a while.
It's just whenever you feel like it.
Whenever I find somebody that's awesome that we want to put on the show.
And it's just you sit down and you interview them. It's Foundation
– .kr.
.kr. Really? There's a .kr? Is that Korea?
Yeah, I guess so. Made sense.
Ev Williams, most recent.
Yeah, he's the most recent one.
Wow. The founder of Blogger, Odeo. And,
Twitter,
of course, Twitter.
Yeah. Medium now.
His new one is Medium, yeah. Mm-hmm. John Gilliam from Nation Builder. Chad Hurley of YouTube. Wow, you've got a great bunch of people. Dave Morin, Tony Shea. So that's foundation.kr for Kevin Rose. Easy to remember.
Yep.
Thank you for being
you.
Here, Kevin.
Thanks
it's
for having
great
me.
To see you again.
It's crazy.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, I know.
Perfect timing. If you want to take the raccoon, whose is this?
Patrick Delahanty's.
Oh, so I can't give it to him?
Toaster Most would not be happy if I brought that in the house, so I'm good.
Probably not a good thing.
I just find it interesting that Patrick has a raccoon puppet.
He emailed us right back.
You never know.
He said, oh, no, I got one. Don't buy one. I got one. Thanks so much, too, to Dwight Silverman from the Houston Chronicle, blog.cron.com/techblog. Great to have you.
Great
As always,
here.
I hear there's something delicious waiting for you involving crawfish.
Crawfish ravioli.
Ooh.
I'm excited.
Now, crawfish is spelled crayfish?
No, it's spelled crawfish.
Spelled with a W?
Some people say crayfish. Some people call it crawfish. And some people call it mud bugs.
Mud bugs. Mud or
well, and crawdads.
Crawdads.
And crawdads. Yeah. Right.
It's, does crawdads. That depend on where in Louisiana or Texas you are?
Exactly. And how drunk you are.
And how drunk you are. Thanks to Jolie O'Dell from VentureBeat. Thanks so much for bringing all the delicious food.
Yeah, thanks for the jam.
Anytime,
You're the
everyone.
Best. I
thanks.
Think it's so cool that you... can
and you make this yourself?
Yeah, I do.
It's awesome.
I did this year. I just had an abundance of energy in June. It's gone now, so
I just made
enjoy
sauerkraut.
It while you
it's
can.
Really sweet of you to share that. Thank you.
Oh, not at all.
Very kind
for
of
my
you.
Friends. Anything?
Oh, you're really nice. Jolie's Berry Cherry Jam.
Is that a website
available now at Etsy and other fine websites.
CherryJamForLess.net.
John C. Dvorak, NoAgendaShow.com. What have you been talking about lately with that curry guy?
We've been talking about all kinds of deconstructions that you should listen to the show once in a while.
Do you think that this is really a panopticon event?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Yes, you do. You don't?
No.
You know, the panopticon was that Jeremy Bentham's prison where the guards could observe the inmates.
Oh, you mean in terms of the way we're being dealt with as a public?
I think... You can use this on the show if you want.
Oh, let me take a note. Let me grab my air pen and I'll write this
Edward
down.
Edward Snowden and others are really doing the bidding of the NSA, who would like to us to think that they can observe at any time, anywhere.
We've discussed this as a
when
possibility.
In fact, they probably lack that capability, but it's a useful fiction.
We sometimes posit such a thesis, yes.
All right.
That's like conspiracies inside conspiracies.
That's why you listen to No Agenda
Show.
Of course,
that way you can see it all. You get
meta-meta.
Also, maybe they're part of a conspiracy to make us think the conspiracy is a conspiracy.
It could be a conspiracy to do that.
We could be behind the whole thing.
Interesting.
So you have Dvorak.org/blog and also channeldvorak.com. That's got a lot of stuff there. Also, I'm going to do a lot more work for the new domain, Gina's operation.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. A new domain.net?
It's also .com.
Or .com?
Both.
And, yeah, people like Jerry Pournelle and writing for it. She originally wanted to bring back Byte Magazine. That didn't work out.
They got that Roald guy.
Roald Dahl?
No, the guy who's the cartoonist who does all these...
He was the guy who did all the Byte cartoons, yeah? No.
You're just freestyling.
I'm free associating here.
Whatever.
Anyway, they got that Roald die guy.
Roald.
Roald? Anewdomain.com.
It should work.
What are you going to write for them?
I don't know.
You wrote a good piece on football last year.
Yeah, I'll probably do crazy stuff like that.
All right. Thank you all for being here. Don't forget, we've got lots of good stuff coming up the week ahead. As usual, 35 fabulous shows. If you're into tech, you've got to tune in, twit.tv, or download the shows of your choice. In fact, the best thing to do would be go to iTunes or Zune or wherever you get your dog catcher, Instacast, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to everything we do at Twit. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Another Twit
is in the can.